ಜಯಂ ಶುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಪ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸದಸ್ಯರಿ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹರ್ಷೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಜಯಂ ನತಿಲೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಪ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸದಸ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹರ್ಷೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಆನಂದಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಗುಂಡ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಓ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಗೌರಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಃ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ತದಾದಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂದಿಯಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀ ರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾಂ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣೆ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ಶ್ರೀ ವರ್ಷಭಾನವಿ ದೇವಿ ದೈಗಾಯ ಕೃಪಾಬ್ಧಯೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಂಬಂಧ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನ ದಾಯಿನೇ ಪ್ರಭವೇ ನಮಃ ಮಾಧುರ್ಯೋಜ್ವಲ ಪ್ರೇಮಾದ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಾನುಗ ಭಕ್ತಿದ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಕರುಣಾ ಶಕ್ತಿ ವಿಗ್ರಹಾಯ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ದೀನಧಾರಿಣೇ ರೂಪಾನುಗ ವಿರುದ್ಧಾವ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತಧ್ವಂದಹಾರಿಣೇ ನಮೋ ಗೌರಕಿಶೋರಾಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾದ್ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ವಿಪ್ರಲಂಬರ ಸಾಂಭೋದೇ ಪದಾಂಬುಜಾಯದೇ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿನೋದಾಯ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದ ನಾಮಿನೇ ಗೌರಶಕ್ತಿ ಸ್ವರೂಪಾಯ ರೂಪನೋ ಗೌರಾಯದೇ ಗೌರಾವಿರ್ಭವ ಭೂಮೇಸ್ತುಂ ನಿರ್ದೇಷ್ಟಾಸ ಜನಪ್ರಿಯ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾ ಸರ್ವಭೌಮ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಾಯದೇ ನಮಃ ವಾಂಚಕಲ್ಪದರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪದಿದಾನಾಂ ಭಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯಲೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾನೇ ಗೌರತ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಪಂಚತತ್ವಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಭಕ್ತರೂಪಸ್ವರೂಪಕಂ ಭಕ್ತಾವತಾರಂ ಭಕ್ತಾಖ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಶಾಕ್ತಿಯಂ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗಲ್ಪದೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂದ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂದ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ಸುರದೌ ಪಾಂಗೋ ಮಮ ಮಂದಮದೀರ್ಘದಿ ಮತ್ಸರ್ವಸ್ವ ಪದಾಂಬೋಜೌ ರಾಧಾ ಮದನ ಮೋಹನೌ ದಿವ್ಯ ವೃಂದಾರಣ್ಯ ಕಲ್ಪದ್ರುಮಾದ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ರತ್ನಾಗರ ಸಿಂಹಾಸನಸ್ಥೌ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ ರಾಧಾ ಶೀಲ ಗೋವಿಂದ ದೇವೌ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಟಾಳಿವಿ ಸೇವ್ಯಮಾನೌ ಸ್ಮರಾಮಿ
ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷൻവേണുസ്വനീർഗോഭേർഗോപിനാഥാ ശ്രീയേസ്തു നാം തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരി പ്രിയേ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യം പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദം ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണ മുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീ അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാല ബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീ ഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹ്യവതി കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാസഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാഭോദിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പ്രീഡീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുതസ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈ വേദൈർസംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ
ബ്രഹ്മഭൂതപ്രസന്നാത്മാ നശോചതി നകാംക്ഷതി സമസർവേഷു ഭൂതേഷു മദ്ഭക്തിം ലഭതേ പരാം. വി ഹാവ് സീൻ ദാറ്റ് വേഴ്സ്. ആൻഡ് ദെൻ കൃഷ്ണ സെഡ് ഭക്ത്യാ മാം അഭിജാനാദി യവാൻ യശ്ചാസ്മി തത്വത തതോ മാം തത്വതോ ജ്ഞാത്വ വിശദേ തദനന്തരം. ആൻഡ് ആഫ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ് പ്രോസസ് വാട്ട് സോ ഫാർ കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ. Then Krishna began with an alternative, that is particularly with reference to the householder. Sarva karmani abhi sada kurvano mad vipashraya mal prasadad avapnodi shashvadam padam avyayam. That is what we were discussing last Sunday, isn't it? So Krishna is saying that Sarva karmani api sada. Whatever karmam that comes through in life. Kurvano madhyavashraya. But dependent on some Krishna. Not dependent on the world. Outside. Then this person Krishna is referring to, he doesn't have much time for spiritual activities, sadhana, japam, dhyanam. He is finding it difficult all that because of his situation. In that case, Krishna is saying here that carry on doing what you have to do. Sarva karmani bisada kurvanam. Continue doing what you have to do, but madhyavashraya, dependent on Krishna. That is more important there. And he also mentioned that because in certain people's case, that is all possible. It's not possible to expect everyone to completely give up the work and to engage in sadhana. That's not possible. So, for them it is very difficult. They have to do something all the time. That's the very nature of the vasana inside. So, Krishna is pointing out here that if he completely dependent on me and engages in engages in his karmam in this world, he's saying that mal prasadad avapnodi, he will receive my grace. He will be given the, he will have the kripa or grace from me. And bhagaval prasadam, Krishna is saying that mal prasadam. Bhagaval prasadam means, what is bhagaval prasadam? Bhagaval prasadam means chitta shuddhi. That is bhagaval prasadam, purification of one's subtle body, in other words. And able to absorb, not forcefully, but in a natural way, that dhyanam or meditation builds up inside. In a natural way, it happens. Chitta shuddhi and experience of Krishna. Therefore, he is saying here, mal prasadad avapnodi shashvatam padam avyayam. And attaining that status, Krishna is saying, this is for those who are absorbed in karma. And Krishna wants to stress that once again in the next verse. If you look, you will see there.
Chetasasarva karmani. Chetasasarva karmani. Mai sanyasya malpara. Mai sanyasya malpara. Buddhi yoga upashritya. Buddhi yoga upashritya. Machitta sadadam bhava. Machitta sadadam bhava. Chetasa sarva karmani. Chetasa sarva karmani. Mai sanyasya malpara. Mai sanyasya malpara. Buddhi yoga upashritya. Buddhi yoga upashritya. Machitta sadadam bhava. Machitta sadadam bhava.
That's it. Actually, if you remember, in the 46th verse, Krishna mentioned something similar to this. He said, yada pravrtir bhudanam yena sarvamidam tadam so karmanam tam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manava. Siddhim vindati manava. Similarly, the same thing Krishna is saying here also. There he said, yada pravrtir bhudanam yena sarvamidam tadam so karmanam tam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manava. He mentioned there that that simply by engaging in the service of that Antaryami who is present in everyone, who is spread everywhere in all the living entities, Krishna says, and by whose presence all living entities receive their power to live in this world, and one who engages his karmam in his service, in his that Antaryami service. Yada pravrtir bhudanam yena sarvamidam tadam. So karmanantam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manava. And that person, he will also reach the destination because he is completely engaged in all the service in the yada pravrtir bhudanam yena sarvamidam tadam. Yena sarvamidam tadam. That means from whom all these living entities have come into existence, and by who is present in all the living entities. That Antaryami. From whom all living entities have come into existence and who is present in all the living entities. If you engage your karmam in his service, sakarmanantam abhyarchya siddhim vindati manava. He will also become perfection. That he has spoken in the 46th verse.
Same thing, Krishna is saying in a little different way. Chetasa sarvakarmani mai sanyasya malpara buddhi yoga upashritya machitta sadadam bhava. Machitta sadadam bhava. And same thing Krishna has spoken before also in the 9th chapter you will see. Yad karyoshi yad asnasi yad jihosi yad dasi yad tapasyasi gaundeya al kurusham adarpanam. So, and all these things he has spoken before, and whatever he is doing here, and whatever he is thinking about, everything able to offer it to Krishna. Sanyasya. Bhagavad Sanyasya. And then what happens, he says here, that after doing that, Chedasa sarvakarmani mai sanyasya malpara. Then, after that, Krishna is saying, buddhiyogam ubhashrityam. Buddhiyogam ubhashrityam. What is this buddhiyogam means? Buddhiyogam means, so, this shelter, taking shelter of Krishna, is done with the intelligence. It has to be done with the intelligence. That means because intelligence has to agree that there is no other shelter in this world. That is what that Buddhi Yoga is talking about. Buddhi Yoga is a confirmation that there is no other shelter in this world except Krishna. That in intelligent level, intelligence, this has to be accepted. It has to be accepted. So, in intelligence, we have to know what intelligence means. Intelligence cannot capture Krishna. That is one thing. Intelligence cannot capture Krishna. But what intelligence can do is to remove all the dirt from inside. That's what intelligence can do. Intelligence cannot get Krishna. Through intelligence, you can't get Krishna. But what intelligence can do is to help you to remove all the unwanted dirt inside. It's just like a broom. Intelligence is like a broom to clean up the place. That intelligence can do. So, all other things, misconceptions or ill-conceived ideas in our mind about spiritual life and materialistic mind, all these things can be cleansed. You can clean them up with the intelligence. That's all intelligence can do. But intelligence cannot help you to get Krishna. Intelligence can clean up the place. And that means, if intelligence has convinced you that nothing else in this world is worthwhile to depend on, then that is a help intelligence offers us. Intelligence gives us that clarity inside that nothing else in this creation is dependable. Is one can depend on. If this understanding comes, that's a service what you get from Buddhi. Buddhi offers that help. You see? Buddhi, that is a Buddhi Yoga Upashratya, what Krishna is talking about. We have, unfortunately, this is misunderstood. People think that if you have good intelligence, I can understand Krishna. You can't understand Krishna through intelligence. What intelligence can do is to remove all the impurities inside, because intelligence is capable of doing that. And how does it do that? It makes us convinced inside that nothing in this world is worthwhile to depend upon. That you lose the strength, you lose your confidence in this world, confidence in yourself, in the ego, in other words, in your own capacity or ability, and faith in your own body and your strength. Once that's gone, ahankaram is gone. This ahankaram is working on this principle. That world will give me the shelter. My friends will give me the shelter. Society will give me the shelter. And shelter in various things where we take shelter normally in this world, isn't it? That is why Narada Maharshi said in the Bhakti Sutram, Anyashrayanam Tyagaha Ananyaha. That Ananya Ashrayatvam, not to depend on anybody in this world, including yourself, or including your own strength or body or mind or intelligence, if that understanding comes, means ahankaram has fallen apart. This ahankaram is like a mountain. You have to keep slicing it little by little. There's no other way it will go. You have to keep on cutting it all the time. Slice it off. And then it will come down. And once it's completely gone, and intelligence can help you in doing that. That's where the help comes from. That's good intelligence. Intelligence is telling us all the time, it's not worthwhile depending on anything in this world. So to get that conviction, to establish there, requires some intelligence. Otherwise, falsely we'll go and take shelter of false things in this world. Friends, families, as they call society, friendship and love and things like that. And that's all at the end is a failure. So that is why if buddhi has taken that decision inside, that is what Krishna is saying, buddhi yoga upashritya. Take the shelter of intelligence to do that. So, so when the buddhi, intelligence, when it is dependent on external things, suppose buddhi has convinced me that I should take shelter of the world outside. If it takes that shelter because of my intelligence is telling me in that way, when buddhi does that, then that chit shakti which comes from inside, that chit shakti is called buddhi then. Buddhi, it is called buddhi at that time. But once that intelligence has taught me not to take shelter in the world outside, and my dependence on the world outside has gone away from me, then that buddhi becomes chit shakti. You see that? What chit shakti is the force that's operating. There's only one force coming from the soul, which is called chit shakti. Satya chitta anandam, isn't it? That chitta is this. That chit shakti is the one which flows through the, which we break it up into four. Mind, intelligence, ego, and chittam. Four things. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. Four things. It's broken up based on the functions. But force is one. That force, when it is dependent on the world outside, bahya alambam, that means dependence on external objects. Other people, money, wealth, or whatever, the shelter anywhere else except Krishna. If I take shelter anywhere else, that chit shakti is called buddhi then. It's called buddhi. Just like the mind. When is it mind? When mind is something, when you are busy with the world outside. Is it not? When it is called mind, when, because you can see the very function of the mind, mind is only able to relate with an object outside me, not inside me. Mind cannot talk about itself. Is it not? Mind can understand many, many things in this world. This is the power of the mind. But mind cannot understand on its own. If you ask the mind to study the mind, mind cannot do it. Because mind does not know what the mind is. Whereas if you tell the mind to take into understanding anything else in this world, mind is capable of doing that. That is why avaranam, vikshevam, layam, three different statuses in the mind is coming from that. So similarly, buddhi also, when it is dependent on other things in this world and is taking shelter in other places, other living entities or money or whatever it is, wherever you take shelter outside, that that chit shakti is called buddhi. But once you lose that grip on the world outside and it is completely taking Krishna shelter inside or dependent on Antaryami inside, at that time it's not called buddhi anymore, it's called chit shakti. It's called chit shakti. So, and that stage, buddhi goes away. So, when the mind it turns inwards and gets attracted by the beauty of the soul and absorbed in the self-realization process, mind is gone. Similarly, when our dependence on the world has gone, or external living objects have gone, and completely they become dependent on Krishna, buddhi also goes. Buddhi also goes away. So, that is why jnanis are called that they don't have intelligence. Buddhi doesn't exist in them. They don't operate on the platform of buddhi. We operate on the platform of buddhi and mind. Isn't it? Manasa and buddhi is important for us. So, because his buddhi has gone and it has taken or replaced by chit shakti, Atma Swarupam. Atma has taken over that function. So, that chit shakti has become chit swarupam, it's called. That chit shakti has become chit swarupam. This chit word you will find in many, many places in the Bhagavatam also. Remember this? I don't know whether you have, if you have studied Brahma's pastimes, Brahma stealing the, well, sasteyam, that pastime. That means when Brahma completely stolen away all the cows and calves, everything from Krishna. Krishna and the other cowherd boys were left, and finally Brahma covered the cowherd boys also. Krishna was left alone. What did Krishna do? Krishna expanded himself into all the cows and the calves, and including the flute, and all other dress, everything, cowherd boys dressed exactly like the ones who were stolen away by Brahma. So there, Sridharacharya Swamiji mentions there, Chit-Shakti has taken all these forms. Chit-Shakti has taken all these forms. The cows, the calves, the cowherd boys, and all the different flutes, and so many other things mentions there in the Bhagavatam. It's all Chit-Shakti has taken that form. And therefore, when they went home that night, all the mothers were feeling extraordinary affection to their own children. They didn't know that it was Krishna who had come in that way. Why? Because the Chit-Shakti itself has come in that form. That's why they felt that. It is in the 14th chapter, in the 10th canto. So it becomes so Swarupam. That means Chit-Shakti becomes Chit-Swarupam. That's why this word Chit is important. So Krishna is saying here, Sarvakarmani Chedasa Sarvakarmani. Sarvakarmani Chedasa Sarvakarmani Mai Sanyasya Malparya. Sarvakarmani Sanyasya. Sarvakarmani Sanyasya. Whatever karma he is doing, performing in this world, and he has offered everything to Krishna. That is his first thing. He has offered everything to Krishna. That is sannyasam. And buddhi yoga upashritya. That means completely dependent on Krishna. Completely dependent on Krishna. Machitta satatam bhava. Machitaha. All the time he is totally surrendered to Krishna. That state. Karmam is going on, but any point in time, throughout life, he is completely surrendered to Krishna. This is the same thing what we discussed last Sunday, that surrender is what? Surrender is easy to speak surrender, but surrender includes no complaints in this world. Whatever distress comes in life, able to accept it without any further complaint. Whatever comes in life, accept it. That's one. And accepting anything, and accept it as what? Krishna's prasadam. Most of the distress that comes in this world, to accept it as Krishna's prasadam is difficult, isn't it? And not to complain to Krishna anymore about what has come as prasadam. Not to complain about the prasadam. It is difficult, isn't it? When distress comes, how many of us are able to accept it that way? That is why Krishna is saying here, that sadadam bhava, machitta sadadam bhava, all the time, without any complaint. So that's why Krishna is saying here, machitta means, that means this kind of chittam. What kind of chittam? Totally dependent on Krishna. Complete dependence on Krishna. And that is the important principle here. What Krishna spoke in the verse 56 is a little bit more expanded in this 57th verse. That's what it is. In 56 he said, Sarvakarmani abhisada kurvano madhyapashraya madprasada davapnodi shashodam padam avyayam. And that one, Krishna has explained a bit more in this verse. Chetasa sarvakarmani mai sanyasya malpara buddhi yoga upashritya machitta sadadam bhava. Machitta sadadam bhava. Chetasa. That means, after surrendering everything to Krishna, all karma to Krishna, then have this firm realization inside that the ultimate goal is Krishna. And for that realization, buddhi yogam. Buddhi yogam upashritya. Buddhi yogam can only do one thing. It can only convince you to take Krishna shelter rather than taking shelter on anything else in this world. That's what buddhi does. One who has good intelligence, he will do that. That's what Krishna's point. If he has the correct intelligence, his buddhi will dictate to him to take Krishna shelter rather than taking shelter of the world or shelter of anything else in this world. Chedasa viveka buddhya. Sarva karmani drishtva adrishtani mai ishwari sanyasya yal karoshi yadashnasi. ఇది ఉక్తన్యాయేన మల్పర అహం వాసుదేవ పరోయస్య ఏవ త్వం మల్పర సన్బుద్ధియోగం మయి సమాహిత బుద్ధిత్వం బుద్ధియోగం తం బుద్ధియోగం ఉపాశ్రిత్య ఆశ్రయ అనన్య శరణత్వం మచ్చితో మయి ఏవ చిత్తం యస్య తవ సత్వం మచ్చిత సతతం సర్వదా భవ. సో వాట్ వి సీ, వాట్ వి డోంట్ సీ, అండ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ రిజల్ట్స్ కమ్స్, వాట్ వి డోంట్ కమ్, and all karma that comes through this body using one's own power of intelligence or discrimination, able to offer everything to Krishna all the time. That means one has to be so alert that any karma that's passing through this body, to be conscious all the time that that is Krishna's has allotted this to me, passing through this body in that state to remain. And while offering all the karma to Krishna, that is offering to Krishna means, offering to Krishna means, remember all this you have to connect with Bhagavatam also. When Krishna talk about Dravyadvaidam, Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam, Triadvaidam he spoke about there. There it is the same thing. That means never to take any ownership anywhere. I am the doer or I am the enjoyer or the results. Karma is passing through the body. According to the prarabdham it has come and it is going through, flowing through the body. So in that state, if one lives in this world, Krishna is saying, simultaneously, while this is going on, except Krishna, there is no other shelter. This realization inside. And in that way, if he is situated in this world, Krishna says, machitta sadadam bhava. Machitta sadadam bhava. And that machitta, that is what is important word there. Machitta sadadam bhava. And what is that machittam? That's the next verse. మచ్చిత సర్వదుర్గాణి మల్ ప్రసాదాల్ తరిష్యసి అధ చేతుం అహంకారా నశ్రోష్యసి వినంక్ష్యసి మచ్చిత సర్వదుర్గాణి మల్ ప్రసాదాల్ తరిష్యసి అధ చేతు అహంకారా నశ్రోష్యసి వినంక్ష్యసి. మచ్చిత సర్వదుర్గాణి మత్ప్రసాదాలు తరిష్యసి అధ చేతు అహంకారాలు నశ్రోష్యసి వినంక్ష్యసి. కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ మచ్చిత సర్వదుర్గాణి సర్వాణి దుస్తరాణి సంసార హేతు జాతాని మల్ ప్రసాదాలు తరిష్యసి అధిక్రమిష్యసి అధజేల్ యది త్వం మదుక్తం అహంకారాల్ పండితః అహం ఇది న శ్రోష్యసి న గ్రహీష్యసి తదత్వం వినంక్ష్యసి వినాశం గమిష్యసి. దాట్ ఇస్ ది భాష్యం ఆన్ దాట్. ఇట్ సేస్ హియర్ దట్ ఇఫ్ యువర్ మైండ్ ఈస్ ఫిక్స్డ్ ఆన్ కృష్ణ, దట్ మీన్స్ ది మచ్చితం, ద మైండ్ ఈస్ ఫిక్స్డ్ ఆన్ కృష్ణ, దెన్ యూ విల్ గెట్ ఓవర్ ఆల్ అదర్ ఆబ్స్టకల్స్ ఇన్ లైఫ్ which is the cause of your material existence. Because when you are, you will always have this question, if I depend on Krishna, how will I live in this world? This question will come naturally in a person's mind. Krishna is saying, machitta sarvadurgani malprasadal tarishyasi. If you are so surrendered to Krishna, this is just the importance of surrender. And also to make us aware that surrender is not a very easy thing or a simple thing. Just like the other process which Krishna has spoken right up to that verse, 55, isn't it? The process of sannyasam and jnanam, that process we have seen. Now, that is for the jnani or the sannyasi who has gone in that direction. Then the question will come, what about the householder? What is he going to do? Because majority of the people in the world are householders, is it not? So that is where this process is the solution to the problem. That to surrender to Krishna in such a way that to offer everything to Krishna and always being in a surrendered state to live in this world. There are many householders who live like that even today. We have to understand that. That is there because they have realized it as much as Krishna says there. Their intelligence have dictated to them. It's not that everybody has taken sannyasam and realized the truth. Sannyasam is an institutional thing. That is nothing. But Krishna's, you have seen, when Krishna discusses sannyasam, comes everything from a different angle altogether. Is it not? So similarly, in the householder's case, Krishna is saying that surrender is the key factor. If the surrender is not there, then it will be difficult in the household life. Surrender is important, which is machittam. And in that surrendered state, Krishna says, he has to be prepared to accept any impediments or any difficulties that comes in life. Sarva Durgani. Krishna says he won't have a Durgam. Durgam means a block. Sarva Durgani. All blocks will be removed. But it will not be the way we want it. That's the thing. We shouldn't expect Krishna to do everything the way we want it. Things will be done by Krishna in such a way, he will look after and maintain us, at the same time remove all the obstacles in our spiritual progress. That's what it is. It's something we have to be very deeply thought about. When Krishna says, Machitta Sarva Durgani means all the blocks or impediments or blockage in our life. We think that our material life, Krishna will make it happy. No, he won't make your material life happy. Material life probably will become a little more difficult. But he will make sure that you won't fall away from spiritual path. He will keep you in the spiritual path, protected, well protected. That is where the protection is. As far as material side is concerned, only guarantee Krishna is giving to us is whatever your prarabdham will dictate, that you will get it. Nothing more, nothing less. That acceptance, that is a surrender, that is bhakti. Accepting in that way, that is bhakti and that is surrender. Not thinking that, oh, Machitta Sarva Durgani, Krishna is saying, and then all my material desires are building up one after the other. And is Krishna fulfilling all that? No, he's not fulfilling. And then we say, it's not working. So we have to have that clear understanding here. Machitta Sarva Durgani, because Bhagavad Gita has only one goal, to make us aware of the importance of self-realization and utilize human life to go back to Krishna or to come to our spiritual identity. So, Mal Prasadal Tarishyasi. Instead, Krishna is saying here, Adajetum Ahangarat. But instead, because of your false ego inside, if you operate in this world, Nashroshyasi Vinangshyasi. Nashroshyasi Vinangshyasi. You will neither, Shreyas will come to you. You will neither may progress on the spiritual path, even on the material path, it will not be very auspicious. That is what the point Krishna is making there. So, he says you will completely vinangshasi. Vinangshasi means you will destroy yourself in that process. You will destroy yourself in that process. So, in this verse, the first time in Bhagavad Gita, it gives an impression that Krishna is abusing Arjuna a little bit. Never spoken like this before. In a little bit of a little bit, in an abusive way, saying to him. So, because it may appear like that, but it's not like that. What it is Krishna has spoken the law. This is how it works. That's all it is. Because one who has taken Krishna's shelter and completely absorbed in progressing in Krishna consciousness, and such a person, he will not experience difficulty in his spiritual path. That's what Krishna is saying to us in that verse. If you are surrendered to Krishna, and if you have accepted the way Krishna has spoken, for him, Krishna is saying that there will not be any obstacle in his progress in spiritual life. Sometimes people will say, it's difficult for me to absorb in meditation or to chant the holy name because I'm working or I have so many other family commitments, so many things to do in this world, and difficult for me to engage in self-inquiry about the Atma. Or all this Vedanta philosophy, it's all too heavy for me to absorb. And I can only engage in my material life. So, if you are saying that, I don't want all these things, spiritual activity, sadhana, or japam, dhyanam, bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or Vedantam, or any of these things, Krishna says, then this is the law, how it works. That's what he is saying here. The law is like this. We have these two options. Either go through the first 50 verses, 55 verses, where in the proper path Krishna has spoken, karmam, jnanam, building up everything, buddhi, dhridhi. Remember the process is all in the sattugunam. Bring them into sattugunam. And through the sattugunam process, come to realize it. And remain as a sannyasi in this world and leave this world. Alternatively, if you are caught up in the karmam, family, everything in this world, then this is the option. What Krishna is saying here. So, so one who takes shelter of the knowledge of Krishna's knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, and he will, Krishna is saying that if you take the shelter of this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, you will get released from here. You will get released from here. And if he does not take this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has given to us, vinanshasi. Krishna is saying his end is destruction. You see, very open statement, isn't it? Because there is, at some point Krishna has to say this. After saying all the sweet things, he has to tell you the truth also. That if you don't take shelter of Bhagavad Gita, it is not a threat. Because at the end Krishna is saying, I have said everything what I have to say, and I leave it to you to make that decision, what you want to do, isn't it? Yathechasi tatha kuru, Krishna says at the end. So, people who have the intelligence, they have to analyze these things properly. In the 11th chapter, if you remember, Krishna mentions this. Yatha pradeeptam jalanam padanga, vishandi nashaya samruddha vega, tadhaiva nashaya vishandi loga, tavavi vaktrani samruddha vega. If you look that verse, you will see that. To Arjuna, he mentions this in the universal form. It is, Yadha pradeeptam jalanam padanga vishandi nashaya samruddha vega, tadhaiva nashaya vishandi loga, tavavi vaktrani samruddha. 28, yeah? Okay. Yeah. Yatha not 28. 29, yeah. Yatha pradeeptam jalanam padanga vishanti nashaya samruddha vega, tadhaiva nashaya vishanti loga, tavabhi vaktrani samruddha vega. I see all people rushing full speed into your mouths as moths dash to destruction in a blazing fire. That's it. So if we don't take shelter of Bhagavad Gita's knowledge and we live the life the way we want to live, then that is the choice. Yatha pradeeptam jalanam padanga. That is why in the universal form, Arjuna is saying this. People who does not want to go with Krishna's decision, they just have to go along this way, in this way. That is why it mentions here that just like the flies goes and jumps into the fire, in the same way, we will go and jump into that fire and destroy ourselves. So, one who does not know this law, Krishna says that, one who does not understand this tattvam, for him, destruction is what is standing in front of him. Destruction is standing in front of him. In other words, death. In other words, death. Which means birth and death and various kinds of distress that comes in life, and all other distresses in relationship with the upadhi. Upadhi means body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses. Upadhi janyam, it's called. All the distress are upadhi janyam. Atma does not experience any distress. All our distress is upadhi janyam, born from the upadhis, isn't it? Born from the upadhis. So, they will come. Therefore, Krishna says to Arjuna, accept this tattvam seriously, and if you do that, it will be auspicious for you. And suppose if you say, I won't listen to it, then Krishna says, you will be finished. It will be destroyed. So, Arjuna says, what shall I do then? So, what you have to do, Krishna says, your duty is to engage in fighting, karmam. You are in that state. Arjuna is not a sannyasi, we have seen that before, is it not? One sannyasam Arjuna took, and that was the end of that. Sannyasam was over. Arjuna's famous sannyasam. So you can see here that here you are a householder that way. That's where you are. That is your vasana inside. Subhavam is like that. So engaging in that way, don't try to escape from the karmam. Karmam is there. And also, while engaging in karmam, also don't try to escape from my shelter, Krishna is saying. Don't try to escape from my shelter. Be dependent on Krishna, in other words, and do the karmam, what is necessary. And if you do it like that, never to try to escape from the from karmam. And if you give up your sadharmam, then you will completely get destroyed. And you are telling me that, oh, I'm going to give up this karmam. I'm not going to be a warrior anymore. If you say like that, you won't be able to go. Krishna says, material nature won't let you go. Material nature won't let you go. You see, in life, there is no way you can dodge the prakriti. Prakriti in us is so powerful. Svabhavastu pravartate, Krishna mentions there, isn't it? And that prakriti, if you try to dodge prakriti, it will not work. Because if you try to dodge prakriti, prakriti will react much more strongly and she'll make you teach the lesson because you've gone against her. That's the way prakriti works in this world. So therefore, and that is called ahangaram. Ahangaram is this dodging the prakriti nature. Not recognizing that I have this vasana inside me and I'm trying to present to the world that I'm very pure or I'm very realized. That will not work. That is dodging the prakriti. Instead of remaining as we are and accepting that this is my svabhavam or prakriti in me and living in this world completely under her shelter, that going against the decision of the prakriti and never to fight with prakriti. That's an important principle. So if you surrender to your false ego and fight with the prakriti, then you will lose the battle. Prakriti, ahangaram can never win the battle with prakriti. So that important principle is what Krishna is mentioning here. Ahangaram, suppose you surrender to, you have to surrender somewhere, either to ahangaram or to Krishna. If you surrender to ahangaram and fight against the prakriti, prakriti will come back with a vengeance and act in a much stronger way. And that will be sometimes very difficult to handle it. Handle it. You will get such a kick from the prakriti side that you will once for all completely be thrown out of the balance. So therefore, because of ahangaram, Krishna is saying here, due to ahangaram, don't reject this knowledge. That's the most important principle. Because what happens is, when something is spoken like this, people have the tendency to use their intelligence and evaluate that, is Krishna saying the right thing? Or is it practical? People always say like that, is it not? Is it practical, they say. Krishna says there is no question of analyzing this knowledge. There is no question of this particular issue. Krishna says you have to accept it. That's it. And there, ahangaram has no role to play. Not to use the ahangaram or false ego. Therefore, that is what Krishna is saying very strongly in these one or two verses here. That not to bring your mind and intelligence into it, and to start evaluating what Krishna has spoken. Not evaluate that. Here, what is expected is surrender. Surrender means accepting what Krishna is saying there. Krishna is saying there without questioning that. No questioning allowed here. Everywhere else questioning is allowed. In this one particular thing, because it's the very end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, I don't want any more questions from you. I had enough questions, he said. He said, you have asked me enough questions. But here is the final answer. Either you take it or leave it. That's all. And that is what he is saying here. Machitta sarvadurgani malprasadal tarishyasi mal adachetum ahankara na shroshyasi vinangshyasi. He says, no shreyas will come. Instead, you will be completely destroyed. He is saying like that. And you should never think, oh, I am independent. Why should I listen to somebody? If that is your thinking, Krishna says in the next verse what the answer for that. Yad ahankaram ashritya nayolsya iti manyase mithyesha vyavasayaste prakritistvam niyokshati. Yad ahankaram ashritya nayolsya iti manyase mithyesha vyavasayaste prakritistvam niyokshati. So that is the alternative. If you didn't listen to this, the last verse, last two, three verses, which is beginning from 56, 57 and 58, if you don't accept those three verses, 56, 57 and 58, they are together, those three verses. If you don't accept that, then Krishna is saying, that means you are working on the base platform of your ego, ahankaram. So you are taking shelter of your ahankaram. Yad ahankaram ashritya. If you are taking shelter of your ahankaram, na yolsi iti manyase, and you decided that, I am not going to fight the war. Because Arjuna was, you remember in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's mood was that he wants to be a very nice person in this world, didn't want to fight the war, and wanted to withdraw from fighting. And Arjuna was saying to Krishna that to kill the spiritual masters, the teachers and the family members, all this is very inauspicious. And Arjuna kept on and on and on in the first chapter about the disasters that will create in this world, as though Arjuna is running the world. So that's why Krishna said to him, you remember when in the second chapter when we began, Krishna said that you talk like a very learned person, as though... He didn't say that you are running the world. Indirectly, Krishna was pointing out to him as though you are responsible for this whole creation. And after that is when Krishna said to him that yeah, Ashochyan Inashojastam Pratnyavadam Shabhashase. Isn't it? Pratnyavadam Shabhashase. So all that Pratnyavadam Shabhashase all over now. It's the end now. So the end, Krishna is saying to him that you have this ahankaram inside. Indirectly, Krishna is telling all of us, we all have this ahankaram inside. And if you take the shelter of the ahankaram, and nayolse vidimanya say, if you don't follow the shastram, because remember in the last chapter, Krishna stressed again and again about the importance of shastram. Shastra vidimul srajya vartade kama karaga. Shastram is the authority, not our mind and intelligence. In the modern world, your mind and intelligence is given a lot of value, isn't it? That my mind, we say. I think, this I think at all won't work with Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita don't accept any I think business. I think you can think whatever you want to think. But at the end, Krishna is saying to us, the truth is this, that yadahangaram ashrityam nayolsya mithimanyase. And if you don't want to do things, then mithesha vyavasayaste prakritistvam niyokshati. That your false renunciation will be exposed by the prakriti. Why? Prakriti will push you to do what she wants you to do. She will force you to do it because that force from inside, which will act very powerful force, that swabhavam, it will operate straight away. And it will finally pull you back into the war. Pull you back into this war. That is Krishna's point. Because Krishna knows very well that if Arjuna has withdrawn from the fighting, it will be only a matter of time that he will take the bow and arrow and come back to fight. Which you can imagine that, how the situation will be. So, as I say here, suppose due to false ego, due to ahankaram, if you say that I can't fight and I will not do these things, this is not meant for me. That was Arjuna's excuse, isn't it? So, if you say like that, Krishna is saying here, and this is a false decision. He says it's a very false decision. Because prakriti, material nature, won't let you go. Won't let you go. Prakritistha niyokshasi, he says. So, whatever lesson we have to learn from this world, material nature won't let you go a step further without you learning that lesson. This is a very fundamental principle. When Krishna has put us in different situations in this world, Krishna is expecting us to learn some lesson here, in the whatever position we are in. And when distress comes, prarabdham comes and get rid of that vasana from inside, a lesson is learned every time, isn't it? And a lesson learned properly in that way will stay. Theoretically, if I learn from the book, it won't be helpful. But I have to go through that. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, whatever lesson you have to learn in this world, if you don't learn that, Krishna won't let you, Prakriti won't let you go another inch further in life. In life. Because Prakriti has already decided that Prakriti wants to use this particular body for a certain purpose in this world. And it will make sure that it uses this body for that purpose. Everybody. All of us. Material nature has decided, because she has given this body to us, and she has got every right to use this body for a certain purpose for which it has been given. And she will make sure that the body is used for that purpose. If she don't use it, if you go against the Prakriti due to my ego, she will make sure that she won't let you go further anymore. She will forcefully put you into a situation like that. That's the way material nature operates. So, and just like, if you don't do it, just like fruits, sometimes you squeeze them and make them ripe. Similarly. So, or Prakriti will hold on to the neck and force us to do it. So, therefore, take the bow and arrow, he says to Arjuna. Don't talk too much. Take the bow and arrow, he says. Nayolse idimanyase. that I'm not going to fight. Don't sit there. Get up, he says. And if you say that I'm not fighting, and you're taking your bow and arrow and run away from here, it's not going to work, he said, because this is your swabhava. Which one? Krishna knows Arjuna's swabhava. He's a warrior, isn't it? Right through his life, that's what he has learned. That's his karmam, that's his swabhavam. That's the prakriti, what is working through him. And Krishna knows this better than Arjuna, how prakriti is operating through Arjuna's body. And therefore he says to him, and you can't change that. Prakriti is working through you. That is why he says, mithyesha vyavasayaste. Mithya. Then this vyavasayam is, that is mithya, he says. This vyavasayam is mithya. So, and one thing about Arjuna is a person who knows how to shoot the arrow in the dark. This is the person who is talking all these things. That you can see his skills. He's so skilled in that fighting business. As a Kshatriya, he's so skilled in that. And he used to practice this in the darkness, how to shoot. So, and therefore there is no point, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, that no point in saying this, I'm not doing it. And he also mentioned there that this is your dharmam, Kshatriya's dharmam that is, and that is your swabhava. That's your swabhavam also, and therefore you are bound. You are bound by that. And that is what Krishna is going to say. And what Krishna is saying here is that Prakriti in a person, Krishna is showing on one side. And on the other side, he is showing the truth. You see, these two things are in everybody, every one of us. And realizing that is more important. One side there is the truth, Purusha, which is the truth. Other side, there is the Prakriti controlling us. This is what, in the next verse, if you look at. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. Sobhava jena kaundeya నిబద్ధస్వేన కర్మణా కర్తుం నేచ్ఛసి యన్మోహా కరిష్యస్య వశోపిత. దట్ ఇస్ ఇట్. స్వభావజేన కౌందేయ నిబద్ధస్వేన కర్మణ కర్తుం నేచ్ఛసి యన్మోహా కరిష్యసి అవశోభిత. స్వభావజేన శౌర్యాదీనాం యథోక్తేన కౌందయ నిబద్ధో నిశ్చయేన బద్ధః స్వేన ఆత్మీయేన కర్మణా కర్తుం న ఇచ్ఛసి య కర్మమోహాద్ అవివేకదః కరిష్యసి అవశ అపి పరవశః ఏవ తత్ కర్మ యస్మాత్. సో బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ క్షత్రియ నేచర్ ఇన్ అర్జున అండ్ క్షత్రియ నేచర్ కృష్ణ హ్యాస్ స్పోకన్ బిఫోర్ వాట్ ఆర్ ది శౌర్యం తేజో ధృదర్ధాక్ష్యం యుద్ధే చాపి అపలాయనం దానం ఈశ్వర భావశ్చ క్షాత్రకర్మ స్వభావజం. రిమెంబర్ దట్ వాస్ ఇన్ ద వర్స్ 43 ఐ థింక్ ది వేర్ చాతుర్వర్ణం ఫోర్ వర్ణం అండ్ వెన్ హీ స్పోక్ అబౌట్ దాట్ యా శౌర్యం 43 శౌర్యం తేజో ధృతిర్ దాక్ష్యం యుద్ధే చాపి అపలాయనం దానం ఈశ్వర భావశ్చ క్షాత్రకర్మ స్వభావజం. శౌర్యం తేజస్ ధైర్యం సామర్థ్యం అండ్ నాట్ రన్నింగ్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ ది బ్యాటిల్ ఫీల్డ్ చారిటీ అండ్ కంట్రోలింగ్ నేచర్ ఈశ్వర భావం ఆల్ దీస్ ఈస్ ఈస్ క్షాత్రకర్మం క్షత్రియస్ నేచర్ అండ్ ఆల్ దాట్ ఈస్ దేర్ ఇన్ అర్జున ఆల్ దాట్ ఈస్ దేర్ ఇన్ అర్జున. సో దాట్ ఈస్ వాట్ కృష్ణ ఈస్ సేయింగ్ హియర్ దాట్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ స్వభావం in the 55th verse if you look also you will see here where he mentioned that bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tatvada tadomam tatvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. In the 55th verse Krishna said that, isn't it? So yavan yaschasmi tatvada, how to know Krishna properly, how to know him well and closely, how to know Krishna closely means not in the form exactly but the way tatvada in tatvam. Remember we talked about what tatvam means, we'll come to that later when we discuss Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam is full of tatvam it is, but it is spoken in the katha form. Like how did Bhagavadam come into existence? Bhagavadam come into existence, you have to look into the history of the Bhagavadam before it was compiled. Originally, Vedam existed. Only Vedam existed. This Vedam was one. There was no four Vedam. When things started deteriorating due to influence of time, Vedavyasa Maharshi combined them into four to make it a little bit easier to teach and to learn. So that is how Rig Vedam, Yajur Vedam, Sama Vedam, Atharvana Vedam came separately into four. And then, in the same Vedam, Vedavyasa Maharshi realized that the knowledge side of the Vedam is more important than anything else, which is the Upanishads part of the Vedam. So, Upanishads were separately written down in the Vedam itself as a separate part. As he, when he compiled them as Karmagandam, Upasana Gandam, Jnana Gandam, in three different ways. He was reorganizing the knowledge. He was restructuring it, in other words, in a way to make it easier for the people to take to it. But at least at that time, there was Varnam Ashram existed. So for those people were capable of, the society was able to accept it in a easier way, in the sense that a certain group of people studied Vedam seriously. For others, they had to take the instructions from the higher level and they lived their life in that way. Society was more peaceful that way. But when things started deteriorating further, Vedavyasa Maharshi saw that this knowledge in the Upanishads also is not getting through to people. So out of compassion for the people, this knowledge of the self, he wanted to get it to the people somehow or the other. So therefore, what did he do? He wrote these Puranams. He started writing Puranam. Puranam is nothing but the principle in the Vedam and in the Upanishads, what is there? Vedam is a combination of everything. Vedam, if you look, ask the question, what is Vedam talking about? Vedam talks about everything. Vedam talks about all kinds of things. That includes how to fight a war. And there are mantras in the Vedam which has to be chanted for winning the war. There is mantras related to that. If you are cultivating, if you are a farmer, if you are growing food, how to have good produce for the food, there is mantram in the Vedam for that. There is mantram in the Vedam to have children. There is mantram in the Vedam to have male children. There is mantram in the Vedam to have female children. There is mantram in the Vedam to have a good wife and to have a good husband. There's not, when you read all that, you start thinking, what's Vedam for? But even though so many things are spoken in the Vedam, the ultimate, to separate everything out of this whole topic of Vedam and to pick what is necessary for liberation, that requires some expertise. That is the Acharya's duty. Acharya takes up from the Vedam what is necessary for ultimate benefit, which is self-realization. Material life and happiness in material life is not important anymore, once you have come to that. So that is why if you look into the books, the Upanishads and the commentary on the Upanishads, Acharya Swamiji says, mentions there, he didn't study whole Mahabharata, he didn't take it. He picked up Bhagavad Gita from there and commented on that extensively. Because that's what's necessary for self-realization, Bhagavad Gita. Even though Mahabharata is a history of the two families fighting each other. If you look at it simple way, it's two families, it's a family fighting, isn't it? Family quarrel, Kauravas and the Pandavas. And there is all kinds of details there in the Mahabharata. If you start reading all that and accepting everything, that may be very difficult today in the modern world. But what is the message that is, what Mahabharata has to give to the world? That's Bhagavad Gita. Tato jayamudhirayat. Jayamudhirayat means that material energy is working, spiritual energy is working, only spiritual energy will ultimately win. Material energy won't win. To prove that is why in the Bhagavatam also you will see that Tato jayamudhirayat, isn't it? What is that verse? Narayanam namaskritya naranjayva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tado jayamudhirayat. Mahabharatam's another name is Jayam. Jayam is another name for Mahabharatam. Jayam of who? Actually, if you look at the war, who has won? Nobody has won. Both lost. Is it not? To say that Pandavas were won is also wrong, because who was left behind? Five Pandavas were there. That's what left behind. Kripacharya was there. And then, one or two people in the family left, that's all. And Duryodhana is saying to Yudhishthira, after all this war, what did you gain? Duryodhana is asking this to Yudhishthira. So, practically nobody wins any war. Every war, everybody is a loser at the end. In all the war, it is like that. Everyone is a loser. So, that is why, tado jayam udhirayat. Whose jayam it is then? Jayam is success of spiritual self-realization. For them it is a success. So, to stress that point, in the Acharyas take this message from the Bhagavad Gita and explain to us that if you follow this route, there is some success at the end of life, that you can get out of this material world once for all. That is a success from all these things. So, Puranams were written with this understanding. Which understanding? To make us aware that this message in the Upanishads has to be explained in a particular way to make it little bit more tasty for the ordinary people. That's how Puranams have come. Puranas birth are like is like that. All 18 Puranams Vedavyasa Maharshi has written in that way. Which means that Upanishad's truth, it has to be supported with stories. And you will find a lot of description in the Puranams. Sometimes it is fascinating. and it will create a lot of questions in your mind about Puranas, isn't it? Puranam, when you start reading, you will get completely, so impressed by the description there in Puranam, that you will get a lot of questions inside. And deliberately they have done this. The rishis have done that deliberately in the Puranam. So, Srimad Bhagavatam also was written as a Puranam in the beginning. It was written as a Puranam. So, the point what is important here is that these Puranams, when you read Puranam, you have to read with a different mind. You have to read with a different mind. It is not history. That's the first thing. Puranam is not history. It is his story, it is. It is his story, it is. That you don't get carried away by the details of the Puranam. For example, in Puranam when you read, there are so many things spoken, and there is one spiritual side to it, there's a material side to it. Everything, what's spoken there. If the spiritual side and the material side don't disagree each other, if they disagree, the rule is you reject the material side and accept the spiritual side of it. Do you understand? So otherwise, Puranam won't make any sense. What normally happens is, we read Puranam and then we'll start evaluating Puranam's description there, the details of the Puranam. And then you will start worrying, oh, how can this be? How could this happen? Because it's not agreeing with our common sense. Our common sense. Common sense is no value in Puranam. And similarly, you should not do research in the Puranam. These two things are not... and that's exactly what's going on these days. They are doing research with the Puranam and they are trying to just go into the details. All the time, people are asking this question about Puranam. The other day I heard that Naimisharanyam, where Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, there were 88,000 rishis were present there. Shaunak Rishi was there as the head of all the rishis. 88,000 people were there. So one devotee was asking this question. There was no microphone those days. How could 88,000 people listen to what he was saying? How loudly he has to speak? How will you understand that? This kind of situation will happen in the Puranam. There, 88,000 is not important. As though somebody was counting 88,000 there. Everyone was issued a pass who was coming in. This is why our mind goes like that. Is it not? Similarly, you will see, Chitrayadu had 10 million wives, it says. And Ugrasena had 4 billion servants. All these are questions in the Puranam. When these things are spoken, anything in the Puranam, katha is not the actual purpose. Purpose of writing Puranam was not to teach the story. Story we must know. Otherwise you can't follow the tattvam. Story you have to know very well. Only then you can understand the tattvam. That we will discuss it when you come through Bhagavatam. That to understand the tattvam behind everything, you have to know the story. But story itself, if you start doing experiment and research with it, you will get nowhere at the end. And there are so many states in the Puranam in the same way. It will go on like that. And with all these doubts in your mind, you will be thinking, where have I ended up? Landed. Now, somebody is reading Bhagavatam and he's sitting there and thinking it's not making any sense. And they are telling me, you have to accept everything as it is, what is written in the book. If you go down in that route, you will have conflict all the time and one day you will leave Bhagavatam. You won't continue with it. So therefore, tattvam is more important and Puranams are written in a particular way because if there were no stories there, people won't listen. Even with stories, people are not coming. So this is our mind. Our mind is in that way. So Krishna is saying here that the Yaman Yaschasmi Tattvada, Krishna mentions there, isn't it? In that 55th verse, see that? Bhaktyamam Abhija, that's what you're coming back to. Tattvada, Tattvam. Tattvada, he says. Tattvada, understand me in Tattvam. If you understand Krishna in Tattvam, then all these ill-conceived ideas will go from inside. Because ultimately, Knowing the soul and realizing the self is the goal, not all the other details. So this Yavan means that when Atma, the self, is operating in association with Prakriti, in association with Prakriti, that is why when Atma on its own, it's difficult to know. Is it not? On its own, Atma is difficult to know. Therefore, when Atma in conjunction with Prakriti, when it's operating, it's called Sagunam. Three modes of material nature coming in at that time. Saguna Sagaram. Saguna Sagaram means that three modes of nature are present in there. Atma is present there. And in that way, in modes of nature, you are engaging in spiritual life. Within the modes of nature. So, and Yaschasmi. See that word? Yavan Yaschasmi Tattvada. Yaschasmi means only to know as Chinmatra. Chinmatra means purely on the spiritual basis. Tattvada. Yaschasmi. That means Tattvada. What is the Tattvam Krishna is saying here? In the 7th chapter, Krishna has spoken this. That's why 7th chapter is important. What did Krishna say in the 7th chapter? He mentions there, he spoke about two things, Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. Remember? Bhumi Rapanalo Vayu Khammano Buddhi Devicha Ahangare Diyame Bhina Prakriti Ashtada. Ashtada Prakriti, he spoke in one verse. That includes 5 material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. All 8, he put it into one group called Aparaprakriti. And Paraprakriti, Krishna says in the next verse also, Abhareyam idasthanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhudam. Mahabaho edam dhairide jagat. Is it not? Edam dhairide jagat. So, Abhara-prakriti, Para-prakriti, he put the introduction there in the 7th chapter itself. He spoke about that. So, everything what you are seeing here is Krishna's Abhara-prakriti. Isn't it? Whatever we are seeing is all Abhara-prakriti. And whole creation itself is Abhara-prakriti. And in that Abhara-prakriti, there is life, Chaitanyam, or living force, and that is Para-prakriti. That living force present in this Abhara-prakriti is Para-prakriti, is it not? Abhara-prakriti is Bhumi, Apam, Analam, Vayu, Kham, all the 5 material elements. Then mind, intelligence, false ego. That's all categorized into Abhara-prakriti. In that Abhara-prakriti, what is shining all the time, which makes things happen here, is that spiritual spark or living force within, which is Chaitanyam or living force, is called Paraprakriti. Paraprakriti. So, Krishna is saying here that Aparaprakriti is what Krishna calls it as Yavan here. Aparaprakriti is called Yavan. And Paraprakriti is called Yaschasmi. See that? Aparaprakriti is Yavan and Paraprakriti is Yaschasmi. Two different, it is the same thing spoken in a different way again. These different terminologies in the Bhagavad Gita should not confuse us. If you understand the actual spirit behind it, then there is no confusion. Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti, what Krishna said in the 7th chapter, is again repeating here that Aparaprakriti is this Yavan. Paraprakriti is Yaschasmi. Yaschasmi? So, so, Yaschasmi Tattvada. Yaschasmi Tattvada. So, Yavan Yaschasmi. If you ask that question, what is the answer? Kaha? That means, answer is Atma. Tattvam is Atma. Who is that? Who am I? And how big I am? This me. I am. In other words, in the form of Prakriti, Prakriti's grip, I am now. How big I am. So, when you know that in Tattvam, Tattviyam, that is what that word is. Tatomam Tattvada, Tatomam Tattvado Jnatva, Vishade Tadanandaram. That means, Tattviyam means who I am and how big I am, what is my form in relationship with the Prakriti. In the Prakriti, what is my real form? Because this form is put on me by Prakriti. Is it not? The body, the mind, all this Prakriti has put on me. So, while within this Prakriti I am present here, who am I? Practically, what it is to say to us, to realize the self, who you are. Realize who you are.
That's what it means.
Yavan yaschasmi tattvada means realize the self, basically. If you realize the self, problem is solved. Yavan yaschasmi tattvada. Yavan is prakriti. Yaschasmi is the para jiva, the living force inside. So within the prakriti, living force is at the moment, like we are now. In the prakriti, we are the living force is there. So if I know me properly, who I am, my pure nature, which is the nature of the soul or the self, if I realize that, then I have realized tattvam. I have realized the tattvam. So this is what Krishna calls it as knowing Krishna in tattvam. Knowing Krishna in tattvam means that tattvamam tattvado jnatva. And that means you have to know this outside as well as inside, both. Outside also you have to know, inside also you have to know. There is a system like that, knowing this both sides, inside and outside. Bahya daraha andha darangaha and tattvam adhyatmiyam drishtya tattvam drishtvava bahya daraha tad vibhuda tadaraham atrachyado bhaved. Gaudabada Acharya, who wrote a famous commentary on Mandukya Upanishad, he explains there all these things in detail. Mandukya Upanishad, if you read the commentary of Gaudapada Acharya, you will understand these words better. There he is explaining this. Gaudapada Kariga, it is called. So, Jnani, or a realized soul, he realizes this outside as well as inside. Outside as well as inside. That means, he knows the Abhara Prakriti and he knows the Para Prakriti, both. Para Prakriti. And once he has known that, he becomes Tattva Bodhaha. Gaudapada Acharya says there, he becomes that Tattvam. He becomes that. Tattva Bodhaha Tadaramaha. And after that, he is absorbed in that. Because he has become that. Now, when he has realization means that he becomes that. He has realized it means he has become that. Is it not? He has become that. So, tada aryamaha, he is absorbed in that. And the aryamaha, you will see this in the Bhagavatam also. When Shiva Brahmarshi spoke about this, that that famous Atma Rama verse. Yeah. What's that? Atma Ramaschamunayo Nargrandha Abhi Urukrame Kurvandi Haitugim Bhaktim Itam Bodhaguna Hari. Why that verse is important? Because that is Upanishad's realization. Atma Raman. He is Atma Rama. Atma Rama means that he does not require anything from outside for becoming happy. Being Atma, he becomes happy. Because the very nature of Atma is bliss. Is it not? Because Atma's nature is bliss, he has become that. Atma Ramaschamunayo. Krishna, that Shiva Brahmarshi says there, Nargrandhi Abhi Urukrame. His Nargrandhi, Grandhi has broken. There is no Hangaram anymore inside. And Kurvandi Haidigim Bhakti Murukrame. They engage in Bhakti, which is the Para Bhakti stage, what we spoke in the earlier verse. That 54. Brahma Buddha stage. He mentions there, Sama Sarvesh Budeshu Madbhaktim Labhade Param. That Parabhakti is what he is absorbed in. Kurvandi Haitugim Bhaktim. And there, Itam Buddha Guno Hari. Hari's transcendental qualities are spoken by the devotee. So, so important thing here, because he is absorbed in that, Aprachado Bhaved. Aprachado means there is no Chuti. Chuti means falling. He does not fall from that again back into our conditioned state anymore. He's always. And that state is what Krishna is calling here Vishade Tadanandaram. Vishade Tadanandaram means he has entered into that state and he does not fall back from there again. Vishade Tadanandaram. So, Bhaktyamam Abhijanadi Yavan Yaschasmi Tatoda Tadomam Tatodo Jnatva Vishade Tadanandaram Tadoham Tatodo Tadom Tatodo Jnata Vishade Tadanandaram. So, now we know how not tattvado. What we know about Krishna now is not Tattvadam, isn't it? It's not Tattvadam. What we know now is some stories we heard from here and there. Somebody, and storytelling has become much more, become Krishna consciousness now, more mostly of storytelling, telling stories. So Krishna is saying, from that bhakti, tattvajnanam will come. Tattvajnanam will come. And in the Bhagavadam also you will see, when Krishna and Suda Goswami began Bhagavadam, he mentioned there these things, that he says there, nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavadi uttama shloke bhaktir bhavadi naishtigi. Bhaktir bhavadi naishtigi. Tadarajas tamobhavam kamalobhada ischaye chedam edhara navidham stidam sattve prasidadi. You will see 4-5 verses. Evam prasanna manaso bhagaval bhakti yogada bhagaval tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayade. Then finally he says vidyade hrudaya granthi. Remember? Vidyade hrudaya granthi. Chidyande sarva samshaya. Kshiyande chasya karmani dushto evalmani ishvare. So Suda Goswami, when he began Bhagavadam, the same thing what Krishna is saying in one verse, he spoke in those 4 verses. Explain that a little bit more in detail. So if bhakti develops in the heart, through the power of that bhakti, tattvajnanam will come. Tattvajnanam will come. And this that tattvajnanam that Krishna is talking about here. That tattvajnanam that is coming through bhakti. Tattvajnanam that's coming through bhakti. So what will happen is that if that tattvajnanam comes to a person, then there won't be any more interruptions or any more breaking in his realization. He will become that tattvam. He becomes that tattvam, Bhagavat tattvam. He becomes that. And that is what Krishna is saying here, Vishade tadanandaram. Vishade tadanandaram. It's all realization, all about realization, what Krishna is saying now. It's all about realization. So, in other words, initially you are seeing Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti separately, isn't it? But when you started seeing Krishna in everything, Paraprakriti, Aparaprakriti has gone. And what you are seeing then is, this separation of Paraprakriti, Aparaprakriti has gone away. And Krishna is who is present inside, and Krishna who is present outside as well. That stage will come at that time. And that means, once we have woken up inside, once you have woken up inside, Purusha and Prakriti, that difference also goes away. Purusha and Prakriti difference also goes away. This is Vedanta. Pure Vedanta it is. That Purusha Prakriti difference also goes away. That is why Krishna kept this in the Bhagavad Gita at the end. Bhagavadam also Krishna kept it at the very end. Have you noticed that? In the 11th canto, when he says, Parasubhava Karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi Vishwam Egalmagam Pashyan. Vishwam Egalmagam Pashyan. There is only Alma. But that Alma, you are addressing in 2 ways now, Prakriti and Purusha. Now it is Prakriti and Purusha. But when you come to that realization after this, Vishade Tadanandaram, after you have entered into him, there is only one. Only Alma. There is no Purusha or Prakriti later. That is what? Important point. You can see how Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam is so close in all these things. Here Krishna is saying in this 55th verse, Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tatvada tadomam tatudo jnatva vishade tadanandaram. Vishade tadanandaram. So one side bhakti has developed in the heart, that parabhakti, if it has developed in, which comes from the verse before. Everything is very properly structured. There is nothing to worry about. It is spoken so, but only in a spiritual way it is structured, not in the material way. That's the problem. Because we are used to reading in a, we like everything presented with the bullet points and that won't work. Bullet points won't work here. Here you have to understand that spiritual flow, how it's flowing, the spiritual knowledge, how it's flowing. First he spoke about that Brahma-Buddha Prasanna-Alma, the Brahman realization state. And Krishna says that then he will enter into that state, Parabhakti state. In that Parabhakti state, Krishna is saying he will understand that Purusha and Yavan Yashchasmi Tattvada, both Avaraprakriti and Parabhakti, he will understand in its Tattvam form. When Tatomam Tatodo Jnatva, after that he will enter into this. When Tatom is known, he'll enter into it, and after that Vishade Tadanandaram. That means that separation is gone, in other words. You see, Vedantam talks about bringing everything together. Science talk about breaking up everything as much as possible. You keep on breaking. Where is it going to end? That is a big difference between the science and the Shastram. Shastram is bringing everything together and to prove to us there is only one thing here. There is not many things. Vishwam ekatmakam pashyan. Pragritya purushenaja. And Krishna also said, parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. So, ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. He says, you are holding on to this falsity and you are trying to speak the truth. Where will you get? Where will you end up? That's what he said, isn't he, in the 28th chapter. So, that's the same principle here also. Vastu is one. There is no many things here. There is only one thing, Atma. That Atma is coming in different form. What is Mahatattvam? What is Pradhanam? What is Bhumi, Avam, Analam, Vayu, Kham, Mind, Intelligence, Ego? This is all Atma's transformation. Atma is the only one thing that is existing. There is not many things existing here. So that it is from that viewpoint that Vedantam is telling this world is not existing. Why? Because it's not a permanent existence, it's a transformation situation it is. From the Brahman has transformed in this different ways. So he mentions there, then after that verse, three verses, 56, 57 and 58, what we looked at. Sarvakarmani abhisada kurvano mad vibhashraya mal prasada davapnodi shashodam padam avyayam. Shashodam padam avyayam. And chetasa sarvakarmani mai sanyase malpara buddhiyoga mupashritya machitta sadadam bhava machitta sarvadurghani malprasadal tarishyasi adhajetum ahangaral mashroshyasi vinangshyasi. Those three verses we have seen. So, little by little, Krishna is bringing us close to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, the science of Bhagavad Gita, in other words. So, that too, to the very important message of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is driving us into that. The Tattvam of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying here, first thing is that you should not take your shelter. First, leave that. Be dependent on oneself. That ego inside. That's what we have got. That's all what we have, isn't it? We don't have anything else. And Krishna says, don't take your shelter. Leave that. Grip on that ego. And then Krishna says, after that, I will tell you what is the most auspicious thing for you. That I will take care of all other things, as far as liberation or moksham or mukti and all that, I'll take care. But leave this first. If you don't leave that, then I can't help you. That's what Krishna is saying. Because you have taken shelter of your ahangaram, due to ahangaram or ego, I can't go any more further. He is saying, first you leave that grip on your ahangaram or ego, and rest of the things, leave it to me. Rest of the things, leave it to me. So, another thing, Krishna is saying, whatever is going to happen in life, accept it. Because that's already, destiny has allotted to you, as prarabdham. It is coming to you. And that is why Krishna said there, sarva karmani, and sada kurvan. Sarvakarmani abhisada sada kurvan, isn't it? Sada kurvani. So, what is, in other words, what Krishna is saying, don't bring your own ideas into spiritual life. In other words, we have this idea, morning a couple of hours to chant, or meditation, or half an hour in the evening meditation. I have kept my life very organized in that way. Krishna says, it's not necessary to be like that. Why? Sada kurvanaha. It has to become a all time, 24 hours business. And and actually, in fact, everybody is engaging in karma in this world, isn't it? But Krishna says, the only difference is, you are engaged in karma, but it's not mad vibhashraya, not dependent on me. whatever karma is coming through us is not dependent on Krishna. We are doing it with ahankaram inside. And that is where the difference is. Everybody is doing karma in this world, is it not? But the difference is that karma is not executed madhvipashraya. So, sarva, as Krishna says, sarva karmani abhi sada kurvano madhvipashraya. That is more important. That is where Krishna is saying to Arjuna the difference between you and the others. He says, if you are taking my shelter all the time and you are fighting this battle as a process of worshipping me, it's a process of worship to Krishna, isn't it? If you are doing it for Krishna's happiness, if you are fighting the battle, it's a worship, it's not a fighting anymore. It's a worship to Krishna. Then it is to be understood, sarva karmani abhi sada kurvano madhvyabhashraya. But because you have doing it as a worship to me, accepting my words, my instructions, and you are taking my shelter and you are fighting, so it is an offering to me. It's not anymore a fight. It's not anymore a fight. In that sense, it's an offering to me. So therefore, therefore you will receive my grace. If you do that, you will receive my grace. Instead, you will not take your own shelter of your ego or your sadhana. That's an important word. People have so much faith in their sadhana, isn't it? Actually, to tell you the truth, if you compare our sadhana, what is our sadhana? Even 16 rounds chanting, that's where our greatest sadhana, isn't it? The 16 rounds chanting. And even that is such a big struggle. That takes about 2 hours in a day. And all our faith is in my great sadhana, what I'm doing. Krishna is saying that this, don't depend on that even. Sadhana is not a shelter. Sadhana is only there, we mentioned many times before, to bring certain discipline in life in that way. But this surrender and dependence on Krishna is the key to success, key to success. So to take shelter of sadhana or any other shelter in the material life, material world, any other shelter, and dependence on sadhana also is another shelter like that. See, in material life you take shelter of money, friends, family, society. This sadhana is also a similar shelter, that is. Because you feel that, oh, I've done my 16 rounds today, so today should be alright. The next morning I'm doing another 16 rounds for the next day to be alright. So there also this mentality will come. Often you will see people saying that I've chanted my rounds, today I will get through, I got through because of that. Felt peaceful, everything was working out well. So this understanding is very much like taking shelter, I got a big bank balance, I have nothing to worry. Not much different than that. Because ego is still operating in all these situations. If you are taking shelter of your bank balance, what is behind it? The ego. Ego is saying you don't have to worry, there's plenty of money in the bank, provided the bank doesn't go bust. As long as it is safely kept somewhere, it is there, why worry? There's a lot of money. A lot of money you have, you don't have to work. And even if you spend the whole money in this whole life, still there is so much left in the bank. How will you become Krishna conscious that way? It's not possible, isn't it? So, the thing is that you have found a shelter there in the money, the bank account, or investments, or real estate, or whatever the Americans call it as real estate. If you have a two-bedroom cottage there, they say it's a real estate, they call it. So, anyway, this is different words people use to express the same thing. But shelter is there. You feel shelter there. So, feel shelter in the wealth. Or if you feel very healthy in the body, You feel shelter there. I'm very healthy. I don't know any sickness. I'm pretty healthy. I can work. I can earn. I can make a living. This feeling comes in. And you feel shelter there in your health, in your body. So places, and sometimes you feel shelter in the family, society, friendship, all these kind of things. So how much you are taking shelter in all these things? Taking shelter in sadhana is also like that. It's not much different than that. If you're thinking that sadhana is, done the sadhana, everything will be alright, it is like that. It is not alright. It is only alright when the ahankaram has gone from inside. If the ahankaram has not gone, if you're still taking shelter of sadhana, it means that ahankaram is operating, because all sadhana is performed in the ahankaram, with the ahankaram inside. So, only thing is, we are not conscious of that. That's all it is. Therefore, just like you are taking the shelter of the money, or taking the shelter of the house, and or shelter of your own power in this world, or shelter, taking shelter of your relations or friends or anything like that. Similarly, another shelter, it is taking shelter of sadhana. Sadhana is also like that. So, that in sadhana what it is by my chanting or by meditation, I will get Krishna. I will get Krishna. So, just like through yoga process also, various yoga processes, Ashtanga Yogam, that is the greatest deficiency problem there. That I will capture Krishna in that way, because you need some tool to get Krishna finally. But in a very, very, very subtle level, in sushmam level, you are actually dependent on your ahankaram there. That you have to know that yourself. That I'm completely dependent on my ahankaram behind it. Ahankaram is the force that is pushing me to engage in that sadhana. That's very clear, isn't it? Not that I love Krishna so much that I'm getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and chanting Hare Krishna, because I love Krishna so much. If I say this to somebody, they will laugh at me, wouldn't they? I'm doing only because my ahankaram is pushing me to do that. So I'm dependent on that ahankaram to do that sadhana, is it not? Anybody you take for that matter, nobody is doing out of pure love and surrender to Krishna. Due to ahankaram is doing that sadhana. So in a sushmam level, in a very subtle level, you are dependent on the ahankaram for even doing your sadhana. Even for doing your sadhana. So actually a famous book, Tiruvachakam, it says in there, it mentions very nicely, it says there, I have done so many things in this life to get Krishna. It says there, but nothing has worked. He says at the end, nothing has worked. I tried this tantram, this mantram, everything. And I tried that, no tantram has worked, he says. There is no technique to get Krishna. And to realize Krishna also, if you say the technique, through technique if you can get Krishna, that means the technique is superior to Krishna then. Is it not? If you think that by through some technique or some process, if you can get Krishna, then what does that mean? It means the process or the technique is superior to Krishna. That's why you're able to Krishna. So, and that is exactly in the Damodara Leela Krishna has taught. Damodara Leela has taught that. So, Shadadevi tried very hard to tie Krishna down with the rope. Tie down with the rope, isn't it? Always that 2-inch shortage, what was spoken, everybody knows, isn't it? 2-inch shortage. So, and when Ishwaradevi said, started, share ego. Ego is there in Ishwaradevi also. You have to remember that. That Krishna's mother, Krishna is my son, that ego. Krishna is my son, that ego. And therefore, I will tie him down. And that is why he says here that she tried to tie him down, but finally she got exhausted running after Krishna, and she started sweating and finding it very difficult to do anything about it. So what did Krishna do? Bandameva kripayanu manita. Krishna allowed her to tie him down out of his grace. Bandameva kripayanu manita. Out of kripa, out of grace, Krishna allowed Yashoda Devi to tie him down. And that grace is what Krishna is calling here Malprasadad. See that word? That's the best example in the Bhagavatam. How that grace comes. Malprasadad avapnodi shashvatam palamavayam. This is called that Malprasada. That grace, that is Krishna's grace. When Yashoda Devi tried her best to tie Krishna, Damodara, and tie him down, Yashoda was running after Krishna, after the Damodara Leela, you know, and Krishna dodged her and ran away and made her run a bit. And then she got tired, she couldn't get him anymore. And that time, out of Krishna's seeing my mother is struggling to get me, felt a grace, a kripa came from Krishna. And that is how Yashoda Devi tied him down. So, that is what this Malprasadad word means. That grace, how it comes from. That is called Alma Prasadam. Malprasadad avapnodi means Alma Prasadam or Alma Krupa. That is a grace coming from Krishna or from the Alma, from the soul. Isn't it? So, Malprasadad avapnodi Shashvatam Padam Avyayam. Shashvatam Padam Avyayam. So, therefore Krishna says, surrender everything to me. To Arjuna he says to him, and completely dependent on me, and whatever karmam you have to do, do that. Whatever karmam that's coming through you, you do that. That's why I said in the next verse, Chedasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya malpara buddhiyoga mubhashrutya machita sadadam bhava machita sadadam bhava machita sadadam bhava. In other words, this is a verse where Krishna is saying to Arjuna, you become a sannyasi, in other words. Because sannyasi status is like that. Always surrender to Krishna. Always surrender to Krishna. What is that sannyasam? Sannyasam means both the body and the mind offer to Krishna. Body and the mind offer that to Krishna. Because this word nyasam, sannyasam comes from this word nyasam. Nyasam is a process in the Vedam. What is spoken is there is Laghu Nyasam, Karanyasam, Mahanyasam, so many Nyasams mentioned there. So, Mahanyasam is not considered to be Nyasam. Actually, Laghu Nyasam is the Nyasam. Laghu Nyasam is Nyasam. Agnir Meva Shradaha Va Khridaye Khridayam Mai Aham Amrdehe Amrdam Pravahandi Amrdam Brahmani. So, what it is, in a very subtle way it is spoken, that all our senses have got predominating deities present there. That is why the senses are operating. There is nothing, it is not a material arrangement that senses work. Senses work due to the presence of the predominating deity. For example, every sense, it is mentioned in the Bhagavadam, who are the predominating deities for all the senses of knowledge, all the senses of action. So five senses of knowledge and five senses of action, they have predominating deities who are present in our body. And due to their presence, those senses are functioning. When they withdraw, that senses becomes useless. Thus, even the whole eye is there, eye won't function when the deity has withdrawn from there. So, this process of nyasam is inviting these different devadas or the predominating deities of the different senses, bringing them all together and dissolving them in the mind. Dissolving them in the mind. And then dissolving the mind in the heart. Mind in the heart. And dissolving the heart in the self. In the self. That is called nyasam. That's called nyasam. This is a process in the Upanishads. It is spoken, that process. So, and that is what Krishna is saying here. You can see here, my sanyasya, he says there. Chedasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya. Mai sanyasya malpara. Now, this process what we have spoken is the sushmam level, in the subtle level. In the gross level, what does it mean? In the gross level, what it means is all the karmam that is coming through the senses, offer it to Krishna. That is in a gross level. In the subtle level, it is called a nyasam. Sanyasam is like that. My sanyasya malpara. And that process is withdrawing all the sense, predominating deities of all the senses, pull them back into the mind, mind to the heart, and heart to the self eventually. Bringing it there. So, and that is done through the so this nyasam, what Krishna is saying here, my sannyasya malpara, that it is a process, what Krishna has spoken here, easy to follow than the nyasam. Nyasam is a difficult thing for ordinary people to do that, unless they have that purity inside. But for people, ordinary people who are like us in the household life, this process, Krishna is saying, is equivalent to that nyasam. Equivalent to the nyasam. That means bringing all the senses together and their deities, dissolve them in the mind. How is this dissolving done? Through sankalpam. You have to have that power of sankalpam inside. And through the mind and that power of sankalpa, sankalpa shakti, it is called. Another word in the Upanishad is adhyavasayam. Adhyavasayam. So, through that process, here, we are doing it in such a way that you are completely taking Krishna's shelter. That way, all these senses have got dissolved in the self. The mind has gone, senses have gone, and the heart has gone, everything has gone and dissolved in the self. And that kind of sannyasam is what Krishna is saying here. Chetasa sarva karmani mai sannyasya malpara buddhi yoga upashritya machitta sadadam bhava. That verse he says, easier way of understanding this nyasam. Nyasam is the technical process. It's much more subtle, it is. Not easier for ordinary people to do. But people like us who are working in this world, living in the family, and going through a worldly life, for us, this process now Krishna is talking about, isn't it? From the verse 56. So that sannyasam, in the normal way how we do it, sannyasam, how in practical life it can be done, that is what this verse is talking about. That engage all the karmam in such a way, chedasa sarva karmani, mai sanyasya malpara, that even if you are incapable of doing all the sadhana or upasana or nishta, whatever it may be, if it is not possible, Krishna is saying, at least let the karmam comes through the body, but don't fight against the prakriti. Accept it as it comes. That means you've got to be so surrendered to Krishna all the time in life. Whenever any disturbances come, distress comes in life, immediately we should withdraw inwards, like the tortoise does. We should withdraw inwards and look at it from the spiritual side, rather than analyzing it from the material point of view. Materially, we can't solve any problem here. It is one problem you solve, there will be another after effect of that in another form. But solution to this is, Krishna is saying that, allow the prakriti to flow through your body, through the karma, whatever it has to happen. Whatever that is coming, accept it without any complaint and questioning that. Don't go against it. That's the point. If to that degree, if you are surrendered here, Krishna says, that is sannyasam. That is sannyasam. You have performed the nyasam, he is saying here. In another way, Krishna is putting it to us. This is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. For example, Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga in the Vedam is performing sacrifices. Whereas in Bhagavad Gita Karma Yoga, Krishna has made it changed a little bit. Is it not? Krishna made it easier for us. As long as there is no I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and there is no ragadvesham, then it is Karma Yoga here. Whatever karma may be coming through this body. So, then he said, buddhi yogam upashritya machitta satadam bhava. Buddhi yogam and jnana yogam, there is no difference. Buddhi yogam and jnana yogam is exactly the same. That means a buddhi that is completely fixed, which does not waver anymore. That is buddhi. Buddhi's nature is like that. Determination, isn't it? Nishchayalpiya buddhi. So, if your determination is there, nishchayalpiya, then that buddhi is perfect. That means you are using the buddhi. If it is wavering, it means you are using the mind. If you are using the intelligence, Nishyadmiya buddhi. That means there is determination in whatever you do. So, in other words, you have decided. Your buddhi has decided like that. And once you have decided like that, then just like you have decided to come here, you got into the car and you have started driving. Then you are not thinking about it. Should I go or should I not go? Should I go elsewhere? I could do something else. You are not thinking like that. You have decided inside in your intelligence. And you got here and finally many, many thoughts have come to you in your journey. Many other thoughts have also come to you in your journey. And for example, you may have thought about your office work or other problems at home. All other thoughts may be coming through your mind while you are coming here. But you are still in your decision, you have made the decision to come to Bhagavad Gita, to listen to Bhagavad Gita. So you can see that that's called Adhyasaya. Adhyasaya means that one basic decision you have taken, and even some other thoughts are coming in between, you are not giving importance to it. You are giving importance to that underlying decision you have made. Initial decision what you have made, which is your basis. And that is called buddhi. Nishchaya, that determination. Nishchaya buddhi. So because that is the controlling force then inside, isn't it? Not the other thoughts that's coming in. Other thoughts are coming in. You will say, somebody phones you and tells you, come over, we'll have a party this afternoon. On your way here, suppose somebody phones you and tells you that, come over, we have a party here, all our friends and relations, everybody is here, why don't you come over, we are waiting for you, and tempt you all these things. But inside you, you have already made a decision. No, that's not important. For me, Bhagavad Gita is important. So that decision-making power, that is called buddhi. Buddhi yoga mubhashati. It's a simple example for that. So that is the controlling force then. That's the controlling force. So that is what Krishna is saying here as buddhi yoga. So in life, if you make a decision like that, as the importance is Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, that is buddhi yoga mubhashati. So sometimes you will see people say, oh, my mind is not very fixed. Yeah, it's always disturbed. It's going this way, that way. But you're not worried about the mind. Mind will tell you so many things. But if you start giving all the importance to the mind, so mind is not going to be stable anytime. Mind will always be like that. That you can see even while coming here. Even though you have made a decision like that, mind is still bringing other thoughts. Is it not? About the office, about home, about other problems, isn't it? So, similarly, when this is in all spiritual activities, it is like that. You have decided to chant the holy name, but while chanting the holy name, so many thoughts are coming. But Prabhupada is saying that don't worry about the thoughts, let it come. You chant and hear. Don't worry about it. Thoughts, you can't stop the thoughts. Thoughts will keep coming. Nobody is so pure that you can sit like this for 2-3 hours without any thoughts coming through. Every moment thoughts will come through. And so because mind is not under our control. It's not in my hands. I can't control my mind, isn't it? Let it go anywhere, wherever it wants to go. So this initial decision like this, what you make it on a very basic level, that is called Adhyavasayam. And another name of that is called Shraddha. Shraddha. That is what is Shraddha. Because if you have that, that will correct all other problems in life. That will correct all other problems in life. You don't have to struggle very hard to control the mind. That is not going to work. Nobody can control their mind. It's not so easy controlling the mind. Because if you succeed in controlling the mind, what will happen is, you will have siddhis. Siddhis comes from that. All Aishwarya siddhis, mystic powers, comes from controlling the mind. Controlling the mind. Because that is what the yogis do, isn't it? Yogis do that. You remember in the Bhagavatam, Krishna talks about Aishwarya siddhis, Ashta Aishwarya siddhis. So many siddhis are spoken. So, with the controlling the mind, what you will have is siddhi. Whereas, with knowledge, what you will have is realization. knowledge, you will have shreyasa or realization. If you control the mind somehow, if you succeed in controlling the mind, you will have siddhis. But actually what we require is to completely destroy the mind, not to have the mind anymore. That's what's required. Controlling the mind is the yoga process. Destroying the mind is jnana marga, process of jnana. What we have to do, destroying the mind means we have to transcend the mind. Mind is finished there. Manomayam altmana upasangramya. In the Upanishad you will see this. Manomayam altmana upasangramya. Upasangramya means to transcend. To transcend. Upasangramanam or transcending is the process. Transcending the mind. Transcending the senses. Transcending the ego. Transcending the intelligence. So rejecting that. Pushing it further away. Malprasadal. Malprasadal. Avapnodi shashvadam padam avyayam. So, depending on that, buddhi yogam means determined mind, determination, nishchayatmiya buddhi, that nishchayam is the word. Nishchayam means that decision, firm determination, that's called nishchayam. And depend on that, and remembering Krishna in that way. Accept. If you accept Krishna's instruction, means you are accepting Krishna. You are remembering Krishna. Remembering Krishna is not the form alone. If you are always remembering Krishna's instructions, you are remembering Krishna. Krishna's instructions are not different from Krishna. Isn't it? So, therefore, if that's marana, remembrance, if it is there, he says there, machitaha. That is, means you are established in Krishna. So, and a devotee, he is always pursuing Krishna in that way. What is Krishna has spoken, that's what's important to him. Important to him. So whatever distress comes in life, problems comes in life, then he has got something to hold on to. That power behind that is Krishna. And Krishna says, I am with him. Krishna says that, I am with that person who is dependent on me. That is what the guarantee there. Machita sarvadurgani malprasadal tarishyasi adhajeltu ahangaral mashroshyasi vinamshyasi. It is this, because Krishna is saying that a person who has surrendered to me, he will realize that I am with him all the time. All the time, I am with him. He doesn't have to be dependent on anything else in this world. Remember in the Bhagavadam, in Puranjana Vakhyanam, at the end of Puranjana Vakhyanam, there is a word used, Avijnata Sakhava. That Brahmana who comes to at the end of Puranjana story, if you remember the five chapters in the fourth canto, there is that Brahmana comes and tells that Puranjana and Puranjani were both there, is it not? So finally, at the last moment, Puranjana has lost everything. And his everything collapsed. His life was in a complete mess. Old age came. It's all spoken in a very allegorical way in the Bhagavadam. At the last minute, this Brahmana comes from nowhere and says to him, are we not friends before? It's spoken like that. He said not. And that is called Avijnata Sakhava. Avijnata Sakhava means unknown friend who is with you all the time. Unknown to you. He's unknown to you, but he is with you all the time. Avijnana Sakhava. That Avijnana Sakhava is what Krishna is saying here. To Mahabali, he said, Rekshishye Sarodohantam Swanigam Samarichadam. That Mahabali, Krishna says like that, I will be with you all the time. I will be with you all the time. So, in all ways, all times, I will protect you. He says this to Mahabali, isn't it? Not only yourself, sanigam saparichadam, with all your friends and associates, whoever is with you, all of them will be protected. And not only all the wealth, property, whatever you may have, that will also be protected. Krishna is not saying, I'll be sitting in the Vaikuntham and protect from there. No, he's saying here that sada sannihidam veera, he says, sada sannihidam veera, that I will be there with you all the time protecting you. Sannihidam Veera. And I will stay so close to you, Krishna says, and you will see me. Drakshase Bhavan. Rakshishe Sarvadohantam Sanugam Saparichadam Sada Sannihidam Veera. Sada Sannihidam Veera. So, and I'll be living so close to you and you will see me all the time. Mahabali, he says this to Mahabali. And what it means is that you will experience my presence all the time. You will experience my presence all the time. And that is what this verse is saying. Machita sarvadurgani malprasadal tarishyasi adajetum ahangaral nashroshyasi vinanshyasi nashroshyasi vinanshyasi. So, this example is like Mahabali's example. And also, like they say in the Paranjanobhakyanam, that avijnada sakhav, this is all indicating to the same statement what Krishna has spoken here. Instead, Krishna is saying, I will not take Krishna's shelter. I won't be dependent on him. If you say like that, Krishna is saying the danger. What the danger is. He's saying there that then I am not responsible. You are responsible then. Then I am not responsible. You are responsible then. If he's like that. Because it is like this, Krishna says, you're just sitting in the car, in the driver's seat, and I'm a passenger, and you're asking me where is the brake. It's like that. A simple comparison. You're sitting in the driver's seat and asking where the brake is. Similarly, Krishna says there, after you started the car, and you're on the move, you're asking me where the brake is. Similarly, why the brake is not working. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, in the similar way, if you approach me, it won't work. If you come to me in that way, it won't work. So, it is like this, that we are taking shelter in so many other places, and then we are going to Krishna when we have a problem. Krishna says, don't come to me. That's your problem, he says. You created, it's your problem. You didn't listen to me anyway. You're not willing to listen to what I'm saying. Particularly he's referring to ahangaram. He says, with your ahangaram, that's your ahangaram it is, isn't it? So Krishna is saying to us that if you have that ego inside, that you can manage your own affairs, your own way, then carry on, but don't ask me anything. I can't help you, he says here. So, you don't know what you want to do in life then, isn't it? You're completely lost in this world. What's the purpose then? When there is no self-realization, when there is no... Happiness is in working with Krishna, not moving away from Krishna. So, that is that avijnada sarathi. The same thing comes in the Bhagavad Gita. Remember, if you look into the... somewhere before... Prabhupada has quoted those verses from the Upanishads. It was in the third or fourth chapter somewhere. It is in one of the purports. Kathopanishad verses. 634. Yeah, yeah, 634, is it? Yeah. Yeah, 34. Almanam radhinam vidhi, shariram ratham eva cha, buddhistu saradhim vidhi, manapragraham eva cha, indriyani hayanyahu, vishayam steshu gocharan, almendiya manoyuktam, bokte tyahur manishina. Those verses. Almanam radhinam vidhi. Shariram radhameva cha. Buddhistu saradhim vidhi. Manapragrahameva cha. So, after that, in the Upanishad, it will say, Yastu avijnanavan bhavati amanaska sada samsaram adhigachati. That Krishna is not cursing us. Don't think that he's cursing us. He's not cursing us. What he's saying is, Yastu avijnanavan bhavati, one who has not knowledge, he will allow the intelligence to drive. That intelligence is Krishna, which means Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is given that driving position. Bhagavad Gita is driving their life. He will reach the destination. But yastu avijnanavan bhavati, but who does not accept these instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, what he will happen is that he will ultimately samsaram chadigachadi. He will get caught up in this life, in this miserable material life, and he'll go down in that process. He'll go down in that process. Going down means accepting more and more bodies, because ahangaram, you are not willing to throw it away. The ahangaram is not going away. So that ahangaram will lead into fresh body, birth after birth, and then finally material existence will continue. So when we read this, that verses in the Upanishads, you will notice this very much. It is in the Kathopanishad verses there, that Krishna is not saying that you go to hell. Not cursing like that. It's not a curse. Don't mistake it in another way. Because sometimes people think like that. Oh, Krishna is cursing everyone. Go to hell. He's not cursing anybody. But in a way, he's saying like that. He's telling us the rule. The rule is like this. Krishna is telling us the rule. That Alma, if you do not realize yourself in this life, you got lost an opportunity. That's all. He's not cursing you. He says whatever happened will happen then, after that. You will accept another. All Krishna is doing is explaining to us how the system works. This is how the process is. And as much as we accept it, we are secured. He says dependent on Krishna and removing the ego from inside and to surrender to him. That's the only option here for us. That's the only option we have. The other option is not possible. So therefore, to create that surrender all the time, continuously surrendering to Krishna, accepting whatever that comes in life without any complaint about that. And Krishna is saying there, without the knowledge of the self, if you drive this chariot, you will eventually trip and fall. You will trip and fall. So here, when Krishna is saying all these things, he is not talking to us standing there as a person. Remember that. He is not talking to us standing there as a person. How is he saying to us? Aham alma gudakesha sarvabhudashayastida. It is in that state he is saying this. There is a big difference there. If Krishna is talking to us as a person, this won't make any sense. Why? Because you can see that everyone in this world has no connection with Krishna. Many people have not heard about Krishna as a person. But Atma, who can deny? Who can deny Atma? No, anywhere there is life, there is Krishna there. So when this verse is spoken, Krishna is speaking from the platform of Atma. Aham Atma gudakesha sarva bhudashayastida aham adhyancha madhyancha bhudanam andamevacha. There is no, every living force in this creation is Krishna. It is from that state Krishna is saying this. It applies to everybody. Whereas if you say Krishna as a person is saying this, then it will come to the understanding that only those who have heard about Krishna, it will apply. I have not heard about Krishna. If somebody says, it doesn't apply to me, you can say that. Is it not? But whether you heard about Krishna or not, the principle is this, that Atma inside is Krishna, that Atma is speaking in this way. Atma statement that is. Aham Atma gudakesha. Krishna is that Atma. We call that Atma as Krishna. Somebody else may call with some other name. Doesn't matter. But Atma is one. Is in everybody. There cannot, nobody can exist in this world without Atma. Is it not? So, as Antaryami inside, Krishna is saying this. As Antaryami inside. Therefore, without taking the shelter of Antaryami, instead if you take the shelter of Ahangaram, then this is the effect. That's what Krishna is saying there. This is the after effect of that. You see, when you introduce Krishna to somebody, blue god, and he says Hindu's god, and this way people will have every kind of question. Do they not? They will raise that question. Oh, that's a Hindu god. That's how BBC says all the time. It's a Hindu god, he says. Hindu god, Christian god, Muslim god, so many gods, all fighting each other. So, but when you come to this understanding, where is the question of any differences, that Atma who is present in the Hindu, in the Christian, in the Muslim, that's not different. It's one and the same thing. It's all in the external body and the other things where we have differences. So Krishna is saying here that instead of Antaryami, if you take the shelter of Ahankaram, then the effect I have told you, Krishna says. If you don't listen to that, he says, na shroshyasi vinanshyasi. Na shroshyasi vinanshyasi. That's all. Because Ahankaram adajetvam ahankarad, you are holding on Ahankaram ashritya na yosya iti manyase. He mentions there. Ahankaram, in the next verse he said, yad Ahankaram ashritya na yosya iti manyase. If you say that I won't fight this battle because of my Ahankaram, then you can stay like Brihannala. You remember the story of Brihannala? Arjuna was Brihannala before. Remember what Brihannala means? Brihannala is the Tridiya Prakriti, third gender. Arjuna had to take up that dress once. And when they were in exile, Arjuna, they all decided to go to Panchala, King Panchala kingdom, and they took up service there. For 1 year they had to live in incognito, is it not? So what did they do? Yudhishthira, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula and Sahadeva, all of them went to this king. First Yudhishthira went to him and got a job there. Similarly, Arjuna got a job, was a dance teacher, and he was called Brihannala at that time. He was dressed up as a female, but he was a male. Dressed up as a female, he had to work there. So Krishna says here to him, if you say to me that I will not fight, then you will be like your Brihannala, what you were there at that time. Because 1 year, he had to stay there. As neither male nor female, in that way, he had to function in that kingdom at that time. And he utilized that opportunity in that Virata kings. Even at that time, when Bhishma and Drona and Karna came there once to verify these things. And when Krishna, Arjuna saw them, his hands was getting like this, wanted to fight. It was building up at that time. And in one instance, he had to fight also. And they got confirmed that these are the Pandavas are present there. Arjuna couldn't resist. There's a whole story about that in the Mahabharata. So what it is that Arjuna fought there. Arjuna had to fight. He couldn't. Because the son of Virata, he was not very capable. And the prince could not fight. So when they attacked, Arjuna had to take up the role and protect the whole kingdom. And then and Arjuna fought at that time. Arjuna realized that he is not the dance teacher. He is the soldier. His Kshatriya nature came out. And at that time what happened? The Prakriti inside him brought his Swabhavam outside without his knowledge. He had to do it. Although he was incognito as a dance teacher, as a female dress, he was living there. But when this incident happened, when Bhishma and Drona and others came, the Kauravas were chasing them, these five brothers. They were chasing them. So when they attacked, the young prince who were present there could not fight them. So Arjuna realized that if I don't fight, they are going to invade the palace. So Arjuna decided to fight. Arjuna got into the chariot, took the prince with him, and they started going. And the prince was feeling very comfortable. Arjuna was protecting him. He couldn't fight. He was a coward, although he was a prince. He had no courage to fight. Whereas Arjuna was thinking it's an opportunity to fight. That Swabhavam came out from inside. He didn't care whether he's a dance teacher, Brihannala and all that thing he has forgotten. And that Kshatriya nature came out and started fighting. As soon as he started fighting, Bhishma, Drona and others realized it. Arjuna is there and they ran back straight away from there. So Krishna is saying to him that the same thing will happen to you now. If you say you won't fight and you want to become a sannyasi and go away from here, it won't be able to happen. It will come out, that vasana will force out, forcefully it will come out from inside, he says there. So, so what can you do about Svabhavam? You can't do anything about it. Even though he was Brahmala, Arjuna has fought the war. He was supposed to be teaching music. Can you imagine Arjuna teaching music? Arjuna said, he was teaching dance and music, both. Dancing and music. So that was Arjuna. Nagula and Sadeva were looking after the horses. Bhima was naturally attracted to the kitchen side, went to that direction. So they all took their occupations and the king was very pleased with their services. And Krishna is saying here that also that you had to fight at that time, the same thing will happen now if you withdraw from fighting. So, and similarly, when they came for Draupadi's marriage, they dressed up like Brahmanas, they came, did they not? Came as Brahmanas like that. And when you could not fight at that time also, you woke up. So, but when the opportunity came to shoot the arrow, you didn't think about yourself as Brahmana, did you? You got up and shot the arrow, is it not? So, this is what is called Svabhavam, to show to us the power of that Svabhavam. Krishna is stressing that point here very strongly. Don't fight against that Svabhavam or Prakriti. If you are fighting against Svabhavam, means you are fighting against the Prakriti, is it not? You are fighting, and that will not, you will not win that. It's allowing the Svabhavam. Svabhavam is nothing but Vasana inside. Allowing the Vasana to flow through the body and let it go and finish with it. That's a way to free yourself from that vasana. So, what does the Prakriti does to everybody? Prakriti, we say, it's Prakriti. Somebody is Prakriti, isn't it? So, our Prakriti, for example, is to keep on talking. That's also Prakriti, isn't it? And very difficult to sit quiet sometimes, to keep talking. That becomes the Prakriti. So, sometimes it is like that. You want to go and sit quietly somewhere, but finding it difficult to sit quiet, want to talk, keep on talking. So Prakriti is like that. So therefore, among the among those who are generally are talking too much, they have a system called Garbhavasa Sudham, and which means for 9 months they won't go anywhere talking. They'll withdraw from the world and go stay quiet, silent, to become silent. So, but this is some famous people, personalities who do this, that who have to speak a lot in the Shastram, who are busy traveling, speaking a lot. Garbhavasasam, what they do is for 8 or 9 months, they withdraw from the world and stay on their own. But even then, they find it difficult to stay quiet. So what will they do? They'll go into the garden, talk to the plants and small animals, squirrels or rabbits or things like that. They'll keep talking to them. Or to the plants like tulsi plant or other flowers, vilium, and other plants like that. So they'll sit and talk to the plants. They keep their eyes closed and they'll talk to the plants because it has become like that. So sometimes they say this, their experiences, if you read, you will see they some of them who have gone through that, when they were, there are some people who have withdrawn from the world for a certain period of time because they're constantly speaking Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or Ramayanam or Mahabharatam. Because when it becomes too much, they withdraw from the world and they go into their own garden somewhere and sit seclusion in solitude, and then they talk to the plants and the trees. Once a person wrote like that, he said when he was speaking like this, finally he saw, when he kept his eyes closed and kept talking, he saw two mongoose were sitting there and listening what he was talking. The mongoose were listening to him. Or sometimes a lizard will come with the whole family and sitting and listening to it, what he was talking. And so that is there, that the Krishna is pointing out here also. Svabhavam is very difficult to overcome. Svabhavam is very difficult to overcome. And Krishna is mentioning there also that Svabhava Vijayam Shauryam. If somebody is very courageous, he said, if he has managed to change his Svabhavam, he has managed to remove his bhavam from inside. That is his success. Krishna says earlier in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? So Krishna is saying here that ahankaram ashratya na yolsyam iti manyase, in the 59th verse. Yet ahankaram ashratya na yolsyam iti manyase. And if you say that due to your pride or ahankaram inside, suppose you say, I'm not going to fight, what will happen? Mithesha vyavasayaste prakritistvam niyokshadi. Mithesha vyavasayaste. Mithesha means that mithesha, that is a false thing. It's a false one. If you say like this, because prakriti will force your svabhavam to come out. And your kshatra svabhavam, the kshatriya svabhavam, will force you to fight this war. So, therefore, this verse is, these few verses, which one? 56, 57, 58, 59 is applicable to all of us. More than the other 50 verses, what we spoke before. This is what is possible for us to try. Other one, even you don't have to try, it is so far away from us. These verses is little bit more easier to follow, in the sense that Krishna is saying that Sharanagati is what Krishna is going to talk about. That is the whole subject in this, Sharanagati, surrendering. Surrendering to Krishna, that is the process. Bhakti, in other words. This is more practical in the world today, in our lifestyle, what we are living through. So, and that Sharanagati is what Krishna is going to talk about from now on. Everything is Sharanagati. All the verses, if you look from now on, it's all Sharanagati. Surrender, surrender, surrender. That's all. So, before this Sharanagati, Krishna had to say about this svabhavam. Is it not? So, svabhavam means that before this Sharanagati, Krishna is saying this about this svabhavam. We notice that. He is mentioning that svabhavam is there. You have to take svabhavam into account when we are talking about Sharanagati. You can't simply talk all anyone from the street and say, do Sharanagati. He's not going to do Sharanagati. His svabhavam is there. You have to keep that into perspective. You have to keep that in your understanding, that a person has a svabhavam. And if you tell him about Sharanagati, Krishna is saying here that before Sharanagati, Krishna is talking about svabhavam again. Svabhavam again. Svabhavam means our second nature. Our second nature. First nature is our swarupam. That is our first nature. Chaitanyam, living force, Atma, which is untouched by anything. So this svabhavam is a second nature. Do you understand what I'm saying? That first nature is untouched by anything. It's pure. It's pure, isn't it? Atma is pure. There is no karma in Atma. There is no any of the impurities in the Atma. Atma is a pure. That is our pure nature, the first nature. The second nature is svabhavam. Second nature is the svabhavam. So, second nature is what we call as prakriti or svabhavam. Prakriti or svabhavam. It is not the first nature. That we have to be sure about that. Because if you take svabhavam as the first nature, then you are completely in the darkness. First nature is Atma. Atma is our nature. Isn't it? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is first nature. Eternal, pure, fully conscious, always liberated. Who? Atma. That is our first nature. The second nature is what is called a svabhavam, prakriti. It is our second nature. So, second nature is prakriti, and the second nature, first nature is same for everybody. Atma. Same for everyone. It is the same. It is a second nature is different in everybody. It's different. Is it not? Second nature is different in everyone. For example, some people, for them, what we say, I don't know what the word, that you say something to go and tell somebody else that he has told you about you like this. What do they call that? Is it gossip? In the Shastra, the word uses eshani. Eshani means that I have told you about something in confidence. You go and tell somebody else that he told you. He told me about you like this. And then he goes and tells somebody else. He is telling me like this about him, that he has told him this. Like this, the rumor gets, or gossip, whatever that is, it becomes distributed, isn't it? It gets distributed everywhere. So, similarly, we say about Narada Maharshi like that. Narada Maharshi does that, you see. So, but the difference is that when Sri Narada Maharshi does anything, it's always for the benefit of the world, benefit of the world. So, even if you are doing that gossiping, if it is in relationship with Krishna, it is still good. If it is a relationship with Krishna. So Narada Maharshi will say this jokingly about Narada Maharshi like this, but it's not like that. Narada Maharshi is Krishna's representative in this world. So when Krishna comes down, many personalities come with him here. Narada Maharshi, Durvasava Maharshi, they are all like that. They come with they had to play that role what they were given. We shouldn't think that, because sometimes some of the pastimes when you read, you will think Narada Maharshi is like us. Narada Maharshi is not like us. And similarly, we will think about Durvasava also. We will say Durvasava is like us. Durvasava is not like us. They had to play that role. Just like in a drama, you have given a dress. You have given a role to play. And you are given all the dress to put on. You have no choice there. You have to do everything to justify your role there. So you have to put the dress on, you have to play that role. Similarly, Narada Maharshi, Durvasava and all, when they come here, they come in that way. So you can see here that Narada Maharshi does this all the time, is it not? You remember right from Krishna's appearance, that's how it was happening. He'll go and tell Kamsa that you are so-and-so, Kalanemi, and Krishna is going to kill you. And he'll be born 8th child of Devaki Devi. Who informed Kamsa all these things? Narada Maharshi. Is it not? And then see what the reaction here. And then he'll go to Golokam and report to Krishna there. What going on here? So constantly you will see in all Krishna's majority of the pastimes, Narada Maharshi had a big role to play. Every time, every demon was killed, Pudana, then later on, Valsasura, Bhagasura, Akhasura, series of them. When they were all killed, Narada Maharshi goes and tells Kamsa that you know who they have killed. Kamsa says, I don't have a clear idea. He says, this is all killed by the Nandamaharaj son has done this. And this to build up that fear in Kamsa's mind. So all pastimes, if you look, you will see this. When the people in Dwaraka said to Narada Maharshi that how is Krishna managing his householder life? 16,108 wives. And how can one person manage? We are finding one family life, it's a big struggle for us. How come Krishna could manage? Have you seen Krishna manage it? Narada Maharshi says, I know Krishna is God, he can do that, but I haven't seen myself. Well, if you are not seeing it, don't tell us, they said to him. So Narada Maharshi decided to go and verify everywhere. He went to each and every house, started with Rukmini's house. First to Rukmini, then to Satyabhama, then to Jambavati. Like that, house after house. And everywhere Krishna received him as though he didn't knew him before. When he came to Rukmini's house, he said Krishna was doing something there. And Narada Maharshi, the way Krishna received Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi thought, I'm trying to understand this Krishna's way. How is he managing 16,108 families? How is he maintaining them? So first, in Rukmini's house, Krishna acted in one way and told Narada Maharshi that, why don't you visit us? We are householders. You know our situation. We are busy with various nonsense in this world. Being householders. Unless people like you come here and give us some transcendental knowledge, what will be our situation? We will get absorbed in the family life and we'll kill ourselves in that way. And he fed Narada Maharshi a lot of prasadam there. Narada Maharshi took some prasadam, and after that, both Rukmini and Krishna fell down at Narada Maharshi's feet, paid his obeisances, and requested him to stay for 10 days there. Narada Maharshi said, I'm a little bit busy at the moment. I'll come another time, and definitely I'll stay for 10 days. He came out, and then he moved to the next apartment, palace, that was Satyabhama's palace. When he walked in, look at how Krishna played with time and space there. Because from one house to the next house, when he goes there, the time has all changed, and a completely different experience Narada Maharshi had. When he walked in, Krishna was with Satyabhama playing chess there. So as soon as Krishna was losing the game, so when Narada Maharshi was coming in, Krishna thought, this is the right opportunity to come up, pull out of the game. So he kicked the whole thing, chessboard with everything out, and says to Satyabhama, Satyabhama, did you see who is coming? And if we do this kind of things, what will they think about us? What impression Narada Maharshi will have about us? We are supposed to be proper householders living and busy with this kind of games. So when Narada Maharshi walked in, both of them fell down and paid their obeisances to Narada Maharshi and says to Narada, how long we have seen you for such a long time. How fortunate we are that you have given us darshan. And Narada Maharshi is observing everything. So Narada Maharshi is thinking what happened in the last house. Absolutely nothing was spoken about what happened in the last house. Another full tray of prasadam arrived. And Narada Maharshi ate. Like this he carried on for 3 or 4 houses. He couldn't eat anymore. So finally Narada Maharshi decided that I'm not going to have this visit anymore. So after that, Krishna is calling Narada Maharshi. Come, I'll talk to you, he said. And there he calls him as my son. Krishna calls Narada Maharshi as my son, he says to him. He says to Narada Maharshi that I am a person, he says, I spoke dharmam to this world. I'm not a person who only spoke dharmam. I have shown it to the world how to follow that dharmam in this world. He mentions all these things in the Bhagavad Gita. So the important point there is that Sri Narada Maharshi also sometimes had to go through these things. But for Krishna's pleasure, Narada Maharshi had to do various things. So that was his nature. He went to test Sri Krishna's garhasthyam. Garhasthya darshanam, it is called that chapter in the Bhagavatam. Krishna's garhasthyam, Krishna's householder life. So there Sri Narada Maharshi goes back and says to people that he can not 16 million wives he can maintain and manage. That is Krishna's position. So that is, that may look nature of Narada Maharshi, but it's all for the welfare of the world. Similarly, and if it is even such activities, which may not be very appreciated from the material point of view, if it is offered to Krishna, that becomes pure. That becomes pure. So, similarly, Durvasa's anger. Durvasa is supposed to be angry all the time. Very angry, isn't it? So, so that is why Krishna is saying here that Pratishidhani, that even those karma which are not in line with the materially it may not be forbidden. It may be forbidden. It may be forbidden from the material point of view. Even such karma, Krishna is saying that if it is engaged in Krishna's service without ahangaram, that gets purified. Because Pratishidhani means that to be particular, that it shouldn't be done like this, it should be done like that. So even those things, if it is offered to Krishna, it turns out to be auspicious. Turns out to be auspicious. For example, that a karmam is performed, and another person may have a different opinion about that karmam, how it should be executed. Is it not? So one person will see karmam in one way, another person will see the same karmam in another way. What Krishna is saying here is that any karmam, how it is executed is not important. If it is offered to Krishna, that is what will purify him. That means without that ahangaram inside, if that karmam is performed, that will save him. Practically what you are doing is, you are not changing his swabhava. You are not changing his prakriti. Instead, he does the karmam as an offering to Krishna, in that case, it will purify him. That's the principle here. That means in karmam, removing ahankaram from karmam is more important than how karmam is executed. Remember, we talked about this before. Krishna sees the karmam from a different position. We look at the karmam from the result point of view. Result oriented, we say. Is it not? Krishna is not result oriented. Krishna looks at the karmam. What benefit has it happened to the person? How his swabhavam has been purified? How swabhavam has been wiped out from inside? So that karmam will be done according to his pragriti, isn't it? According to his swabhavam, he will do the karmam. So that pragriti, whichever way it is operating through him, accordingly that karmam will be executed. If it happens like that, Krishna says, through that knowledge, he will get purified. That person will get purified. So whichever way that karmam is done, that karmam will purify him. That is the principle. What Krishna is stressing here again, that you can see also there is a history behind many, many people in that way. We'll talk about it after a few minutes. It's quite possible. Namarjanam Bhava Mahadavagdinarvavanam Shreya Kaidava Chandriya Vidaranam Vidyavadu Jeevanam Anandam Budivardhanam Pradipada Purna Amrita Swadanam Sarvatma Savanam Param Jayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namagari Bhakuda Nija Sarva Shakti Natrarpida Nimida Smaranena Kala Edadrishitava Kripa Bhagavan Mamabhi Durdeiva Midrishamiha Janinanuragaha Tranarabhi Shunichena Tarorabhi Sahishwara Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Athanam Majanam Nasundarim Kavidam Vajagadi Shakamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadad Bhaktirahai Dugitvai Ainandatanuja Kingaram Paditamam Shame Bhavambudo Kripaya Tava Pada Pangaja Stidaduli Sadrasham Michindaya Nayanam Galada Shudharaya Vadanam Gadgadaribdhaya Gira Tulagayam Nijidam Kadavabu Tavannu Grahani Bhavishyadi Gaidam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishayidam Shunyayidam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahename Ashleshya Vapadaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Armahadam Karutuva Yatha tadava vidada dulamado mal prananatha astmayevana param. So, yada hangaram ashritya nayolsamiti manyase mithesha vyavasayaste prakritistvam niyongshadi. Prakritistvam niyongshadi. So, earlier when we talked about this sarvakarmani abhisada, Kurvano Madhyavashrayam Malprasada Davapnodi Shashwadam Padam Avyayam. On that verse, when we spoke about that, I mentioned there that Sarvakarmani Pradishiddhani Abhisada Kurvanaha Anitishtan. In other words, even Pradishiddha Karmam, that means Karmam that is being forbidden, even those Karmam, if it comes, when Pradishiddhani Abhi means, in what sense is it spoken? Krishna is saying here that karmam is executed in different ways. When karmam is executed, some of them may be acceptable, some of them may not be acceptable, depending on the person and the place and the circumstances. Karmam has that problem, isn't it? How would you say a particular karmam is correct? That karmam, depending on the vasana inside, and the circumstances, it can change because every karmam is associated with various other factors which influences the karma. So Krishna's point here is that pradishiddhani api, that means even it has got problems with that karmam, but if it is executed in such a way that particular karmam, like Durvasa's anger, remember in Bhagavatam you will see many instances Durvasa getting upset. Because of that, what all happened? Durvasa's anger because of the churning of the milk ocean happened. Is it not? Because Dhruvasa went to the heavenly planets. And the Apsaras women were making some garlands there. When they saw Dhruvasa Maharshi, they knew Dhruvasa's nature very well. So what they did was, the garland what they have made, they brought to Dhruvasa and gave it to him and paid their obeisances, not to upset Dhruvasa. Dhruvasa took the garland and went through the heavenly planets. While walking through, he saw Indra practicing his weaponry, how to use the weapons, isn't it? Ayodhana Kala. So he was practicing, so he gave the garland to Indra. Indra, unfortunately, didn't take very seriously, not knowing that Dhruvasa's nature, put the garland on top of the elephant, and because of the flowers in the garland were so, the smell was so powerful, that bees started coming, and they got into the trunk of the elephant. Elephant got upset. Elephant shook its head, and the garland fell on the ground. And the elephant put its feet on the ground, and Dhruvasa got offended for that. So he cursed that let everybody become old here. Jara and Mara, old age and disease came to them, the old age impact of that. And after that, they couldn't stay. Immediately the demons took control of the heavenly planets, they had to leave. And finally they went to Brahma, and Brahma instructed them that we have to have this, no medicine for this. Imagine it, like an old age home it has become. The whole heavenly planets. Imagine all people are old. Imagine a situation like that. Everybody is old. You can imagine how the old age home is. The situation like that happened. And then it was then that they went approached Vishnu. Vishnu said that they have need the nectar to get rid of this situation. So they had to churn the ocean of milk to get the nectar. And then the battle between demons and the demigods, all that happened at that time. Kamsa was present there at that time as Kalanemi. Kalanemi then. So most of these demons who appeared in the Krishna Leela, they were all present there. Pralamba, Bhaga, Chanura, Divida, a lot of personalities like that, they were all present in that pastime there. So one curse from Dhruvasa created all this series of things. Imagine Dhruvasa's anger. How? Then what happened with Ambarish? You know the story in the 9th canto. Dhruvasa and Ambarish, isn't it? So there, even though anger happened from Dhruvasa, which is from our point of view is not a good thing to get angry, like the way Dhruvasa did. But because it's happened through Dhruvasa, the after effect of that was auspicious for the world. Why? Because of this incident what happened in the heavenly planets with the Apsaras women and Dhruvasa, Krishna had to appear as Vamanamurti. Bali Maharaj became an authority among the 12 Mahajans. He became authority. And all the personalities who appeared in the Krishna's appearance, they were all selected in that battle of the churning of the milk ocean. They were all selected there at that time, who will join him in the Krishnavadaram. So like this, and similarly Ambarish Maharaj, Dhruvasa got angry, but it showed the power of bhakti, Ambarish's bhakti, is it not? So you can see here, that is what that word is talking about. Pradishiddhamabhi, that means Pradishiddhani means that you can't put any control on the performance of a particular activity, a karma is concerned. Karma may be anything, it doesn't matter. But ultimately, if it is offered to Krishna, that means it will become auspicious. If it is in relationship with Krishna, in somehow it will become auspicious. So there what we are doing is, we are not changing the prakriti. Dhruvasa prakriti you are not changing. Dhruvasa is still angry as before. Nothing has changed. He is still angry. Similarly, Narada Maharshi is still doing the same thing what he did before. Nothing has changed. So, prakriti is not changing. What we are doing here, that prakriti, let it carry on as it is going on, but if it has become in relationship with Krishna, it will purify the person. Pavitri Hridam, it mentions like that. So, so it will be auspicious. So, that you can see even in spiritual life, it is like that. Sometimes, those who have gone a little advanced, who have got siddhis in spiritual life, For example, many personalities who practice different yoga processes, sometimes you will see them in many of the holy places. They will be present there. And their activities is very difficult to explain. There was one person, Thiruvannamalai, who used to continuously abuse people. Continuously abusing everybody. Anyone who comes across, he will abuse him. That was his nature. And he also had a stick with him. And he'll beat you with the stick. He'll beat you with the stick. So, but people deliberately will go close to him so that he will beat them. They want to get beaten by him because they said that if we get beaten by him, it's good for our spiritual advancement. And similarly, to get abused by him, they'll go to him. So they used to take that abuse as a blessing. Abuse as a blessing. So, and there are Mahalpas who have made this abusing as a blessing. There are people like that. So you may think that once you got abused, then you won't come again. Isn't it? So they'll say like this, that one Swami was like that in Haridwar. I mentioned, forget his name, Paramartha Ashram, he used to be there. What he used to do was that, if you go to him, he asks for, people go to the sannyasis asking for blessing, isn't it? He used to tell them that you will die. Very soon you will die. This was the blessing he used to give. So if somebody blesses you like that, not many people will come, isn't it? Or sometimes he will say, everything what you have got, you will lose it. So like, and make him a complete pauper. In that way he used to bless him like that. So it is a mystery, this thing. But what he meant was different than the person who has heard that. What he was saying was, when you die means your hangaram will die. That was the blessing. So from his side, he is given the correct blessing. Similarly, you will lose everything means that your material attachment will go to the material life. That attachment will go away. So you will see this, that in spiritual life sometimes, that there are people who have this approach in spiritual life. And when they abuse somebody, people won't take it seriously. Sometimes they abuse so badly that you will see that person won't come again. But you again see after a few days, he'll be there again, listening to it. Because they didn't take it in the heart, in that way. It's a mystery. Because normally, when somebody talks to you in a little, critical way, that's enough. Sometimes people can't digest it, isn't it? They feel get hurt by that. But in this situation, it is not like that. They will abuse so badly that you may think that that person won't come again. But you can see there that it's like an injection. You will get suddenly a little bit disturbed, but afterwards your own ego will leave you. That is the benefit you will experience it within. So when you come to a psychic contact like that with somebody, that person, if he hasn't got the ego inside, then it will purify the person who is listening. And because he will enter into him. You can say like this, that particularly when somebody gets abused. Because it's not done with any revenge. It's done with a good intention. That ahankaram is our problem. We need to be spoken rudely. It helps to get that ego go away, disappear from us. Otherwise, you will build up falsely. This ego will build up inside. So, when something is spoken very rudely, suddenly it will at least shake up that ego temporarily. It will give a shake to it. Ego, it is like a direct injection. You know, directly something injecting into your blood. So, and you will notice that people who have that proper understanding, they won't take it seriously. They'll know it has helped me actually. Somebody has told me like that, strongly, in strong language, something spoken to you from the spiritual side, that has an immediate effect inside, rather than telling everything in a very nice way, putting it to you. And therefore, those people who have that understanding, they will come next day. They won't take it to the heart. They know that it has done good to them, in that sense. So, so there were people like that. There used to be many people like that in places like Thiruvannamalai and other places also. But nowadays it's getting rare because there are also not many who are taking to that spiritual path also. So abusing somebody, is it a good thing? No, it's not a good thing. Similarly, to gossip about others, is it a good thing? It's not a good thing. But if these things, if it's coming from people who doesn't have that ego in them, then that will help them to develop Brahma Vidya inside. It's a helpful feature for developing Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya. Many big personalities, Mahatmas, if you go and look at them, they will sometimes abuse people. But you will see next time if you look at them, the same person will be right in the front sitting there the next day. He considered that, oh, I was fortunate enough to get abused by him. That humility, how that builds up inside. That surrender and that ego, how it melts off inside. That's the benefit from that. So whatever, that is what Krishna is saying there. That word, Krishna is saying, sarvakarmani pradishiddhani abhi sada kurvanaha. See that? Sarvakarmani abhi sada kurvano madhu vipashraya. In that bhashyam, it says, sarvakarmani pradishiddhani abhi sada kurvanaha. Even if it is pradishiddhani, pradishiddhani means it may be forbidden. In the normal point, normally, to abuse somebody or to speak rudely to somebody is not good. It's not a good thing. But if it is even such karmam, if it is help that person in spiritual life to develop Brahma Vidya inside, Krishna is saying even that becomes, purifies the person. That purifies the person. That's what the point Krishna is making there. Pradishiddhani abhi sada kurvanaha anutishtan. Then mad vibhashraya aham vasudeva ishwaro vibhashraya yasya. So, Brahma Vidya's nature, that abuse helps him to remove that misunderstanding inside. Sometimes we require that injection. Otherwise we won't understand. We won't take it seriously. We'll keep listening katha, 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 katha. We'll go on for the rest of the life. But surrender won't happen to Krishna. That is why. So those things which cannot be changed, hand it over to Krishna. That you can't change. That's my vasana. What can I do? I have to accept it that way. So that is what Krishna is saying here. Mal prasadat means mam upashritya. See there? Kurvano mad vibhashraya. Mad vibhashraya means mad prasadat. Mal prasadat. That means very well one has to execute this sadhana. This is a sadhana actually. All this is sadhana. Sadhana is not only chanting 16 rounds, but absorption in all this knowledge, what Krishna is giving us, absorbing in that itself is a sadhana. That is a bhakti sadhana. So, and when these defects or these difficulties or problems there, that is when Krishna is saying here, vivikta sevi. See that? In the verse before he mentioned, vivikta sevi lekvashi. Yadavakaya manasa. That is in that situation. So, you have heard Bhagavad Gita. And if you are saying that, I can't do anything about it. I'm not going to change. And in that situation, some of these mahalmas, they will beat you with the stick. If you say to them like that. But they won't take it seriously. Who? I mean, Ramana Maharshi used to do that sometimes. When you go and say to him things like this, against the Shastram, he won't accept that. And he will see the person that his ego is building up inside. So naturally, with his stick, what he used to walk with, he used to give one whack. What the person said, you're talking nonsense. That you don't understand this. And then you are talking still. Like Arjuna was talking to Krishna in the beginning. Isn't it? Krishna put it to him very bluntly to him. That you are talking like a learned scholar. But what's your knowledge? So, in solitude, one who has practiced this. This is jnana sadhana. And bhakti sadhana, both. this surrendering process is with Jnana Sadhana and Bhakti Sadhana. One who has done that and he has become matured in that, that means his bhakti has developed in such level that pride has gone from inside. Ahangaram has gone. Abhimanakshayam, it's called. The freedom from that false ego has happened to him. And his pragriti in that situation, his pragriti becomes very divine. Becomes very divine. That is why Krishna is saying here to Arjuna that fighting is your swabhavam. Fighting is your swabhavam. And according to your pragriti, Krishna has given a work, a duty, work to perform. According to his pragriti, fighting is his pragriti, and that is swabhavam. And therefore, accordingly, a work has been given to him. Battle, in the battlefield, isn't it? So, that is Krishna mentioned there, swabhava niyadam karmam kurvan atnodi kilbisham. Remember, few verses before he said, swabhava, that all these verses are meant for meditation, deeper meditation. And once you keep on meditating these verses and its purport, then you will build up this understanding strongly inside. Swabhava niyadam karmam kurvan atnodi kilbisham. Remember, few verses before, 47, yeah. 47. So, svabhava niyadam karmam kurvannatmodi kilbisham. So, if you engage in karmam, which is based on your svabhavam, then it cannot create any fault in us. It will not create any fault in us, because it's my svabhavam. What can I do about that? So, svabhava niyadam karmam is called svadharmam. According to one svabhavam, that karmam that comes through that person, svabhava niyadam, that is called Swadharmam. That is called Swadharmam. In fact, Varnashrama Dharmam is created on that basis. Is it not? That is why, remember when Krishna spoke about Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, what did he say actually? He spoke about that person's Subhavam. Brahmana Subhavam, Kshatriya Subhavam, Vaishya Subhavam, Shudra Subhavam. The Subhavam he has spoken. So, Swadharma means that the definition of Swadharmam is Subhava Niyadam Karmam. The definition of svabhavam itself is svabhava niyadam karmam. So, svabhavikam, natural karmam that is coming through this body. And it is easier to surrender that to Krishna. Svabhava niyadam karmam. It is easier to offer that to Krishna. Rather than doing somebody else's karma, Krishna has warned that strongly. Isn't it? Shreyansu dharmo vigunal paradharmal sonushtidal. That verse. So, svabhava niyadam karmam, svabhavika karmam, it is easier to offer that to Krishna. Because when you are engaged in svabhava niyadam karmam, ego is not strong there. Because it's your svabhavam working there, not ego working. Whereas all other karmam which you have taken upon your own, without caring for your svabhavam, your ego will be very strongly present there. And there surrender becomes more difficult. It's a very subtle thing. If you understand the theory behind this Varnashrama Dharmam, you can't beat it. There is no other solution to the human society better than that. This Varnashrama Dharmam. Varnashrama Dharmam is structured so well that purpose is to how to bring the ego down. That's the goal. So that society is peaceful. And they can execute spiritual life. With a very high powered ego, what spiritual life can you have? What kind of spiritual life can you have with a very high degree of ego? So, bringing down this ego is the whole idea. In order to do that, and karma is something very difficult to avoid because there is vasana inside every person. So, therefore, Krishna has set it up this Varnashrama system. Varna system has come from that. Varnam was formulated on this principle, purely based on the svabhavam of a person. Remember, chadurvarnam mayasrishtam gunakarma vibhagasha, gunam of the person, gunam and karma, on that principle. And if you overhaul the whole thing and try to make it all equal, these are all artificial things, what we do now. It's an artificially we are trying to bring it together. It won't work, and it's not working. You can see that. That administration is done by Vaishyas. Shudras are running the country, or gone as soldiers. Prabhupada mentioned this in one instance, when Vietnam, when they were
losing the battle. The soldiers were running away from the battlefield. Prabhupada says, what do you expect? You've already caught all the Shudras in the army, he said. They're not Kshatriyas, he said. Therefore, this is practically, you can see this. All modern armies are recruited on this principle. Yes or no? No Kshatriya principle anymore. And we're doing wrong things. But Kshatriya nature is to have that Shauryam Tejasa Dhriti Dakshyam like Arjuna had. Yuddhejapi Abalayanam, isn't it? And Dhanam Ishvara Bhavascha Kshatrakarma Subhavajam. So, from every angle, if you look at it, you will see there, when you have that Subhavam, the surrender becomes a lot easier to offer the results to Krishna. Bhagavad Arpanam, what Krishna says there. Kakurvanam Madhvibhashraya. And suppose you are doing somebody else's karma, which is not your karma, you can't offer that to Krishna. Because your I in that, ego, will be very strongly present in that karma. Very strongly present in that karma. So, whereas, karma that is coming through you, according to your sabhavam, that it is easier to offer to Krishna. Because when it is your sabhavam, you don't have to give a lot of importance to your presence there, ego in there. Ahankaram will not have much role to play. It's naturally passing through you, that karma. And that will happen without the power of your ahankaram behind it. That karma will happen through you. But if you do paradharmam, then you require the mind. In swadharmam, the advantage is the mind is not required. It will pass through easily. But unfortunately, in the modern world, all this is not acceptable, isn't it? Modern theory is that you should become to the top. In all the, we have some or the other, this has gone in the head and it's caused so much havoc in the society. Like you say, they say, in America, everybody wants to be the president. That's how it's pumped up from the day one. And once it gets into the head, then there is no hope anymore. So that's why when such personalities, when they come to spiritual life also, they want to be the guru day one. That is the highest position you can get, or the founder acharya, whatever it may be. So they are thinking that these positions have become the attraction rather than spiritual realization. This happened, isn't it? How many times has it happened? With all these goals you are coming to spiritual life because shrayan sodharmo paradharman sunishtha. When you engage in paradharmam, ahankaram will get in. And that ahankaram will create all kinds of problems. It will never be possible to offer it to Krishna. It's always ahankaram that is doing everything, not the way Krishna has spoken here. So, so there is no point that you have to remember for paradharmam, you require the mind. Strong mind is required, whereas sodharmam, you don't. Sodharmam, because it's just dharmam, you got, so it is your sabhavam that's working. It's not much of a help needed from the ahankaram. Whereas for paradharmam, ahankaram has to be in the front. Because it's ahankaram that is dictating to you to do that dharmam. And the strength of ahankaram will drive you through that, and therefore offering that karmam to Krishna is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. So, sabhavaniyadam karmam, Krishna is saying here. And sabhavaniyadam karmam, don't block it. Sabhavaniyadam karmam, not to block it. And Bhagavad Gita is saying this to Arjuna. That is important message here. That in the idea is not to make Arjuna to fight the war, but removing that block, what is in Arjuna's subhava. That's what Bhagavad Gita is doing. Arjuna has got a block there inside. And that is what is happening, causing the problem. Removing that block is what Bhagavad Gita is doing to Arjuna. And when that was removed, Arjuna was naturally happy to fight. There was no problem at all, isn't it? Because Arjuna's subhavam started working then. And that is what he is saying here, that you will see. Prakriti swam yokshadi. Prakriti is dictating now. Prakriti is engaging Arjuna, not ego. Prakriti is engaging because that vasana is inside Arjuna. Doesn't require any more boosting by the ego. His prakriti will carry out the job. So that's what Krishna is saying here. So we'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.